You want to read them again? It's up to you.
If you'd like me to, I don't care if you do.
In case some of us don't have the internet.
There we go. We had, after the annual meeting in the ranch store, we had our first board meeting, and it was the outgoing president, Dave Turley, called the meeting to order. The existing board members, Dale Clarkson, Shauna Cox, and Dave Turley, were in attendance. Jody Akers was reelected, Linda Alderman, ranch secretary, and new board members were Joe Bose and Robert Allen. The first order of business was to elect new officers for the board. Art Orlani was voted as president, Dale Clarkson vice president, Shauna Cox secretary, Jody Akers treasurer. Areas of responsibility were divided up. Joe Bose, roads and fire protection, Robert Allen, web development, ranch communications and reservations, Dave Turley, facilities, cabin maintenance, and legal department. Dale Clarkson was over the water resources and management expert, and Art Orlani was security and public safety. Shauna Cox, agricultural, wildlife, and ranch activities. Agreed by all that monthly meeting times would begin at 9 a.m. on the second Saturday of each month and the ranch whenever possible. Next meeting would be held at 9 a.m. at the ranch October 12th. November the 9th would be early in town. The place would be decided upon, possibly Zions Bank. December the 14th will be the next December meeting. As President Art stated that there would be no more airing feelings publicly, only facts, Art would like to make a 10-year running plan for the ranch that could be passed along for the next boards to move forward with. It is important to get our assignments done ahead of time so we can make the decisions and votes to save time in our meetings. Jody would like to know if there is any more invoices for the year. We will make a list of action items for each person in the top 10 at each meeting. Dave, employee valuations are pointless as we are not around to see everything that is happening. Dale, we need to discuss retaining Paul and Nancy and their efforts, and all things will be brought to the next board meeting. Motion to adjourn. Shauna, second by Joe Bose, and vote was unanimous.
Any motion to accept?
I move we accept the minutes as read.
Second.
I'll second it.
We lost it? We lost the UFO. She did put it back up again. We have to put this on speakerphone. Go ahead and move it back to
the board. Anybody care to make a motion to accept the minutes?
We have to say it again.
We're doing it again.
I move that we accept the minutes as read.
I'll second it.
So be it. Next on the list would be the financial report.
You have before you the I was thinking about the internet.
You have to vote on that, Mark?
No, you don't.
The meetings?
Oh, yeah, you should vote on that.
On what's that?
Accepting the meetings?
The minutes. The
minutes. Yeah, what's that?
We have,
we have to vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. You have before you the profit and loss budget versus actual, and the balance sheet, the information is there. We have about $18,000 in the bank now. This shows a little bit more on the profit and loss, but that's because a couple of things have been submitted but haven't been cashed yet. They show up on your balance sheet. We have about $18,000 that we are working on to the end of the year in the bank. And I don't know what else to tell share with you.
Is that including what we paid for the truck?
Yes.
But it also includes some people's dues they've already paid for next year, doesn't it?
It does include dues that are paid for next year. We've got about, I think we have about $3,000 in dues that are paid for next year. Hello, Jody. Yes? Okay. Yeah, that's Paul. I'm going to try and get this. I'm going to put you on speakerphone so you can hear what's going on. Okay. And talk again. Say something, Jody.
Doesn't want to call out.
out.
It doesn't roll a COVID?
No.
Thank you. This is... Yes, ma'am.
Money's left over, they just automatically put into the capital improvement, or do you actually take some of the money and invest them into a CD for long term at all?
We need to discuss that. Definitely discuss that.
I know a lot of other HOAs do that.
Yeah.
And that money can
rolls
be
over.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think we should consider something like that rather than just leaving it in that fund, and specifically different kinds of CDs. So that you, if you do need them.
Yeah, you can pull it without penalty.
Right.
If you start it this year, 2 years from now, you can pull from it. And if you just keep doing it every year.
Yeah, we've got to do something with it because we've got a lot of, you said there was a $9,000 shortfall?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got to do a lot of work between now and next month.
You could give it to me. I can go to the...
We can go on a cruise by ourselves. The heck with that.
I'll go to the hotel and double it.
There you go.
All on black.
Guaranteed.
While we're working on that, Art, I'm wondering as a board if we should take time to look at the budget, find it, hand the budget out. And most of us throw it in the file. And it doesn't mean really a thing. We either have money at the end of the month, or we don't have money. But I think there's things on here that we should ask. For instance, on that first page, there's $5,000 of reimbursed expenses. Maybe everybody knows what that is.
We've gone over that in other meetings. Reimbursed expenses are expenses that have been reimbursed in various categories. And it goes back into those categories, but it just shows as reimbursing expenses there. I can pull them up as soon as I get this going and explain exactly what is on there.
Oh, I thought you said three. You said third page?
First page.
Hello. Please enter your six-digit conference code.
8679.
Do you have that paper with them? Oh, here it is.
There's that, and then seemed like on the last page.
Welcome to free conference calling. We will now connect you to your call.
There we are. Are you there?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay,
on the last page, it says there's no receipts for $6,000.
Is that what it is?
Says no receipts.
Oh, those are items. I'm sorry, excuse my voice. Those are items that come in that I haven't yet received the receipts or haven't yet applied the receipts to them, but I had to pay the bill. And so I put them in that at the suggestion of Ben last year. He suggested that I make a separate file for that and put that in there until they can be assigned to a specific department. That's what those are.
And that's, I think there's good explanations for all these items, but as a board member,
What would you like to know?
Yeah.
I'm not specifically on that, but I just...
Oh.
If we spend... if I personally spend a half hour, hour going over the budget...
Yes.
And flag about six or eight different things...
Yes.
Then I think, gee, what does this really mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe the rest of the board is not interested in that, or they may be. But usually... Linda does a nice job handing these out, and we throw them in the pile. And
well, and you had asked that I give them to you ahead of time, and I try to get them to you a couple of days ahead of time, and so they should be in your inbox at home. Also, if you haven't,
no, I haven't.
We printed them off.
Okay.
We printed them off.
Okay. This is Dave. Hello, Dave. Yes, we are back on though. It is back on Skype if you want to get back on there. Thank you. Bye. If he has a problem, he wants to be able to connect with somebody to have their phone on. So if you want to do that possible, that'd be great. Okay, on your first one, you had a question about reimbursed expenses.
Well, I don't know whether the board even wants to take the time to do that.
Okay.
I'm just raising.
I would say that'd be a good thing for her to pass around after, you know, well, maybe it's Monday or Tuesday, you know, so we do know.
As we go through the budget and get this set up for next year, this is what is on those reports. It's connecting this with where we are actually at on that report. That's what the budget versus actual is. The balance sheet, that's from the beginning of the time that this computer was working on your spring dress. That's what the balance sheet is.
Let me ask a couple more questions.
Yes,
on page 2, it says tools. $4,200. That's more than we're spending on cabins and vehicles and everything else.
I'm going to let Paul explain that one because there was a lot missing when they came on to it.
Well, that seems to be happening, you know, the last 20 years. Every time we change people, we feel that a lot of the tools are not there. And I don't know what tools it is, but $4,200 would
buy. Well, I can vouch for the tools being missing.
And we have an inventory that we've been running each year, twice a year, and so we can tell really from that inventory what is missing and why we don't know.
Well, and I don't know what happened in the earlier part of the year. I didn't spend $4,200 on tools, but I did come in and found a lack of tools and kind of needed some specific items to do certain projects that I had when I first came back. I don't know what happened at the beginning of the year. But
is that 4 or 5 pipe wrenches or new chainsaw?
No.
Was it a compressor?
Chains, no, the compressor was.
Compressor we bought earlier.
Maybe the generator.
Yeah.
You know.
We had to reimburse.
Well, we've got to come up with some kind of mechanism so that if
so we need a list of them, yeah.
We don't have to go through this every time because I can remember back 10 years ago, same thing happened.
Well, I did a complete inventory. You guys remember when I left, pictures and everything. I had Brent, and I don't know if, I think Ben came and looked at it.
He did.
We spent a lot of money in tools the last 5 years, and it's kind of upsetting to see it all kind of go with the wind. I brought back my own tools and, you know, I'm willing to use them. It's upsetting to me.
So do we need to know the specifics on the tools? Is that what anybody?
Well, we have an inventory.
Where is that? Where's the inventory?
I did an inventory after Paul and Nancy left, before Jeff and Heavy. You still have that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I did an inventory. You know, I didn't inventory every nut, bolt, and everything, but I did inventory the major things. And one of the things that happened is, I know Chris didn't take anything, because I was there when he left. Okay, there's no question about it. But what we didn't scrutinize, and I'm not blaming anyone, is the interim people, I don't know what walked away.
Also, one of the things on my list is the public safety and, you know,
if that's
security. And by God, we've got people out there that are criminals.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw the picture that I sent, but the screen being ripped out of the tool shed. You know, the door was, I'm glad they didn't kick the door in, but they went through the window.
So that's one of the things we got to work on. We got to work on some sort of security.
I do have cameras up now.
Okay. Well, cameras work if,
well, I have
if
all
they're
my
not
tools.
Dependent on your electricity.
This was before I put all my tools in there. All my tools, I have, you know, $10,000 worth of tools of my own in there, and I don't want them walking away.
Well, anyway, we're gonna have to make sure we. One of the top priorities is.
Yeah.
And again,
Art.
Yes.
Just going through the general ledger on that, looks like we had the lawnmower that was $300. We had a generator that was $700. And then we also have an entry there for the cash summer help, which was $300 that should be in a different category. But everything else is miscellaneous replacement parts and items, just to give you a heads up on what's in that department.
Well, I think at this point in time, we just need to put in safeguards so it never happens again and just move on. You know, I think with everything that we do, we just need to, if we have a problem with anything, we need to make sure that we don't do it again as a board. We're responsible for the money, and if it happened last year, it was last year.
But going forward, we need to have, probably do a comparison of the items that we have pictures of, and then what we have just repurchased, so that we now at this point have what's there, so that we have an inventory. We need to have that total inventory now.
If we do that and we see what is missing, and we're absolutely sure it's been stolen, we have to be sure, we should start filing. Anybody has a problem out of Deer Springs, we need to file a police report. Because it's the only way we're going to get their presence out here, out there. And they need to come out once in a while. We pay the taxes. We all pay for the sheriff. We vote him in. We need to make sure they do their job. And I don't think five times since I've been here have I seen a sheriff's truck. 10 years. Except for just recently.
Well, I have a lot of friends in the sheriff's department. They come out and visit me and see how things are going. And I have contact with...
Maybe we can get them to come to one of the board meetings. And what we used to do back in Florida is the sheriff would come in and give us ideas how to protect. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to school for that. And all these the latest ideas how to protect ourselves. Of course, the cameras are good if they're not dependent on electricity. Because if a good criminal comes, the first thing they do is they'll nail your electrical system, and the cameras are dead.
Well, the cameras we have are all battery-operated. Yeah,
one other thing, Art, on this. 6 months ago, we asked for a monthly kind of check register.
A monthly what?
Monthly check register.
Uh-huh.
So we know, for instance, what was paid in a particular month, and that would help us then evaluate our budget. For instance, the next item on here was a grader. How did we spend $3,000, $2,500, something on the grader? And if we looked then at the check register, we'd say, oh, I see we paid $1,000 for tires or whatever kind of thing. Linda did hand out a check register, but most of them is just a check number.
They don't put where they went to. I'm not sure where you would want that printed from. Because this is exactly what the bank gives me.
I know. So as a board member, and maybe others don't, but it doesn't tell me anything.
Okay.
So whether we should take that list and you make a little note. Here it is.
And
it's
I
nice.
I did that last time.
And it says, you know, a check for $8,000, a check for $1,500, a check for $1,100, $2,000. And so this doesn't really, I think this leaves me in the dark.
So you're talking about like the budget register that you have at home where you have, like, you know, check number, whatever, and then it drops into a category for whatever it's for.
Something, yeah. So, I think if we're going to be responsible for these things, that if somebody said, where did this check number for $3,000 go? I don't know. And so there's several thousand dollars. So Linda has given us a list of all the checks, but they're only by number, so we can't, in our mind, put them in any category.
Right.
As to, did this go toward the grader, or did this go toward the cabin repairs?
How many checks are written a month?
Well, it looks like there's 30. There may be 30 on there. I didn't count, but there may be 30.
That's in 1 month.
Yeah, this 1 month.
Well, we should have had it.
She's going to take care of it.
Okay.
She'll take care of it.
That's easy enough. That's an easy.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Good idea.
But I was just supplying what you requested. Now I understand more fully what you're wanting to see. So I'll pull it off of QuickBooks. It won't be from the bank.
Not, when it's from you can write this from the bank and then just take your little check and just write who it went to.
Exactly.
Just write in there.
Yeah,
yeah, that's all we need. We just need to know where that went. Make a note.
Then you know it's the bank register, which is what you've been receiving for several months. No, don't
leave. She'll take care of it. Anything else?
Yeah, let me break one up. We have here a balance sheet. And the balance sheet says that the association has no assets. I maintain that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of value, and it's been that way for even before Linda came on, so I'm not saying it critical, but it is not a company balance sheet to show what's up there. Should we change that so that the members, right now the members would say, gee, there's nothing there. There's no land, there's no buildings, there's no equipment, there's nothing there. Well, as far as I know, that is not our balance sheet.
If it's not the truth, then yes, we have to change it. Or find out why, figure out why. There may be a legal loophole on that. The Deer Springs, I don't know. I'd have to check that. That'd be something for Dave to look into. But yes, if it's not right, we do have assets.
Balance sheet, $48, $48,000.
Okay.
Total assets, $48,000.
So really what you need is a financial statement. What you need
you need a balance sheet.
With that included, but you can have off your financial statement. You should be able to pull that. And attach it to your balance sheet.
Did Dave ever reconnect?
Okay.
I think Dave's on there. You can ask him.
I'll just check and see if Dave reconnected.
Is he on your phone?
I was texting him.
Dave, are you there?
No.
There.
Oops.
Maybe
heard
something.
To Dave.
He heard.
Why don't we ask them to report who is on there? Let's ask who's on there now.
Jody, you there? Anybody home?
Yes, I can hear you over here. It's hard, but we can hear.
There's a good delay there.
Vance?
Can you hear Dave? I can hear Dave.
Okay.
So Dave must be able to hear.
No,
but we can't hear Dave.
Yeah, we can't hear Dave.
So let me verify that. Dave, can you hear me and I can hear you? Talk to me for a minute.
They can pass it on.
I don't know why they can't hear
me. Oh, I can hear you now.
Yeah. I can hear Dave.
We can hear him now.
It was through her.
Okay.
So are there just three of you then? We have Dave, Jody, and Vance on the UFO?
Yeah, that looks right.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Steph?
Okay.
Good suggestion.
Well, are we still on the financial, please?
Just moved on.
Okay, I must have missed the first part of it. I had a little review in case. I don't know if you guys covered it or not. Can I go through it real quick?
Go for it.
Okay. Looks like I went through the whole year's budget, and it looks like we overspent some, but we underspent in others. So, and Linda, I have a question for you. The ranch truck, was that paid from the 2013 budget?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So from $20,000 being left in the bank, we have another $6,000 coming in from Doug Hunt. With the estimated propane management fees and gas, it looks like we'll end up with about $15,000. And then another $1,500 off of that for miscellaneous telephone, internet, trash, laundry, and bank fees. Looks like we'll have about $11,000 to $13,000 in the reserve going into next season because we didn't spend as much in legal fees as we thought, so that truck budget, we saved $5,500 on that. So $5,500 of the truck came from that department or category. So it looks like we'll be going in with a little bit extra in reserve to maybe apply towards some projects. That's my review.
Sounds good. Anything else, Jody?
That was all for that. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions on that one? Okay. Now we're at the biggie, the ranch report.
You guys have received all the top 10 lists and progress reports, not progress reports, but daily reports. There shouldn't really be any question of what's going on at the ranch. I appreciate the evaluations that was given, the ones that filled them out. It kind of shows us just kind of shows us that you guys are understanding of what's taking place out there, and that you appreciate things that are going on. And you know, I just want to stress that, you know, if there's something, you know, we're pretty self-motivated. We kind of know what needs to take place out there, and if we kind of get sidetracked, just, you know, don't be afraid to ask. You know, the communication, I think, is a lot better between the board and us out there, and that's kind of where we need to be. Communication is key. You know, 6 months down the road, I don't want it to be, well, hey, you know, we should have been going in this direction. But I appreciate those evaluations that were given.
There were several that were not given, but I think you got a feedback from them, didn't you?
I don't think so.
Well, I saw the feedback coming across the email.
Okay.
So the feedback was, I didn't see anything negative.
Right.
I think the evaluation for me personally is I had no clue what you did the 6 months before that. I never even took my head out of the sand. And I should have, but I didn't. And from what I see, my evaluation was one sentence.
Right.
And it was positive. So, and I think all of us that were the new board members did the same. I don't know, Joe, did you give an evaluation? You were a little more involved. I don't know if you did.
Well, I didn't give one before I got on board.
Yeah, you know, but you did the...
Yes.
Yeah.
I nailed it. Yeah.
See, I didn't have enough information to the small stuff to the big picture. It was great as far as I was concerned.
Well, basically, you know, we're the eyes and ears out there for you guys. And, you know, like I said, we're self-motivated. And we have projects that we feel are priorities, but... If there's any concern or question, you know, we need to know. The communication line has to be open. That's about it.
Dave asked for this item D on here.
We do have a list of current needs for the cabins. If you guys want to see it, I guess we could type it out and email it to you.
That's a better way.
Right.
Did you get the tire size for me on those? Kubota.
I have the grader, but not the Kubota. I haven't gotten over there. But I should have stopped. It's sitting on the side of the road.
Do you still have flats?
Yeah.
On the grader, there is a flat tire.
What is the deal with that?
I did talk with Danny Button, and he said he's going to make it right. Because I talked to him, I said, we've taken them in 3 or 4 different times and have the same outcome.
Same tire.
You know, we're not really using it all that much, and it's kind of a joke. So I told him, I said, the board is kind of on me about it. And he did say he's going to make it right.
Okay. I talked to Brent about Alan Steed. He has a guy that comes out and does his repairs every so often. Brent says when he sees the guy next, he's going to ask him to stop by and talk to you and see if you've got a flat. And maybe we can split the cost of coming in for fixing his flats and fixing our flats. And supposedly this guy's pretty good, so we're going to find out from that point of view if we can save some money. If not, we can discard
that. On top of that, it's going to save him hours of work.
Yeah.
And there's a flat fix it. You know, and
if the guy's coming up here,
he's
and
got the air tools, down, he knows what he's doing.
If he will. We don't know if he will or not yet.
Yeah.
But if he will, we might be able to save some time on taking the tire to town and bringing it back, get it fixed right here.
Right.
If he can fix Alan's feet,
that makes sense.
He should be able to fix ours.
One tire I'm taking back to Danny. He said he's going to make it right. So that's not going to cost us anything.
Yeah, it's not going to cost anything. That's the way to go.
In the future, I think, you know, I don't know what.
How much time has that taken up? My God, over the years, it's got to be thousands and thousands of dollars.
Just this year, it's been a joke, really.
Yeah.
That was the first. I think the first week we were here,
even if he costed a little bit more money,
you know, it's saving the time of driving
and
back.
Plus, wasn't the grader where he got hurt? Didn't you say you cut your hand or something on
the grader? Oh, that was a couple of years ago. With the brush hog.
Yeah. Oh, it was the brush hog.
I was putting some parts back on.
So those tires are dangerous.
Yeah, split rims aren't fun. No. They cut you in half.
Yep, they will.
Do we know, or do you know, how many hours has the grader been used the last year? I think we need to evaluate the equipment and know a little bit more. How many hours has it been used, or the Kubota? We have some good equipment sitting there, and I don't know that Paul has time to run it. And as a curiosity,
I have closed probably over 100 hours on the Kubota in the 4 or 5 months that I've been back.
That's a lot of hours. That's not a lot of hours.
We can buy a couple of hour meters and put them on them.
They have hour meters. That's why I'm asking the question. They have the hour meters, and how much has the grader? You also notice in the non-highway fuel, seemed like it was up to $7,000 this last year. What was it used for?
There was a diesel truck I know that was running all over the West Coast that used a lot of it.
That's true. You also pump water with that non-highway fuel.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where the big end of it was.
Well, I think the whole, I think every subject we're going to come to, we start with the tools being missing, we start with, you know, there is question about, we have had theft of diesel fuel out of there.
I knew about that before
I ever got on the board. We need to change the way we do things and kind of keep track.
In July, we put locks on everything because none of it was.
But I think with every single part of our budget and what the way we do business, we allow stuff to happen. I mean, it's who else can we blame but the board? I mean, that's why I'm asking the questions here.
We as board members.
Regardless, if we don't all agree, it doesn't matter. We are still responsible for the. Where did the diesel fuel go? You know, and we know it was stolen. We know quite a bit of it was stolen. Well, you stop that. So, with every subject we come up to, we need to look at from here on, not look back, because we're not going to change what happened unless we find somebody that we know stole something. We, you know.
But I think if you look back before this year, the last, you know, the 4 years prior. That would kind of tell a different story. 100 hours on the Kubota in less than 4 months, that's...
Along with everything else,
having to fix and everything. I think, you know, there's been a little bit more time spent on it, and I could spend more time on it, trying to put out fires in other places. I actually have everything logged. I started log books as soon as I got back, and, I can get those hour meters for you. But, when I came back, a lot of things were broken, trying to fix them, you know, and the story is, when we first got here 5 years ago, it took us a year or two to kind of rebuild things, and we finally started getting back into the equipment and actually using it. I don't think things are as bad as they were 5 years ago, so it's going to be a shorter amount of time before we could be sitting in equipment and working. I started back up brush hogging again. I wanted to get to some certain areas, but I have an issue with the four-wheel drive on the tractor. It hasn't been working since I've been back, and I don't want to get into certain areas. You know, and that's going to cost the ranch. You know, I have some diodes ordered that are coming in and a fuse relay, hoping that it's going to fix it, but... The equipment's being used.
So, the ranch did without these two pieces of equipment for the first 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whether it goes to a contractor or somebody, because to spend $5,000 a year on the equipment or more, and it being too taxing on... Paul's schedule with all the other things that's on there.
Well, we did. Didn't we do that back 10 years ago? We were hired out to, I think his name was Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Mark. Yeah. And he come in and graded twice a year every road on the ranch. And then,
there's been
and then John Pardo, we contracted with him to run the grader, and he did it for $10 an hour.
So I'm just raising these questions that I think as a board we've got to look critically at some of these things and protect the budget.
Well, we can go back to an online discussion, you know, with our emails back and forth. That's a big subject right there. Whether we make it or take it away from you and give it to a contractor, which I'm sure you'd love. maybe not the brush hog. I think you'd enjoy that.
Like right now is the perfect time to brush hog.
Yeah. And it's looking wonderful.
Yeah, I know.
I still would like to see brush hog between the fish ponds and the bottom end of the meadow. That would make more visible difference than any of the other brush hogging.
I think it all needs to be done. So well, I don't know about any of the board members. We do a schedule and get it all done.
To get into certain areas because of the four-wheel drive.
Any of these brush hogging, if it's on the list, on the top 10, if you have a specific place, that's all you need to do.
Just stick it on there.
He would have done it already.
Well, I know I'm not particularly one, but I don't recall getting a list of where specifically you wanted that. He did brush hogging before.
And this discussion should go to Linda.
Yeah, he did brush hogging before the top 10 was, before it was on the top 10 because he knew it needed to be done.
Well, I think he's doing a great job with it right
up
now.
I think aesthetically it's
looking pretty good. But that is a beautiful area up there, and if we can get that done, but you got to get it fixed.
Then we'll
get stuck the first time we go out there.
But things like that would really be helpful, Paul, on a weekly or daily report or whatever. Let us know on the hours. Okay. I'd like to request that now.
I think every time I log, when I brush hog, I put down the hours.
Yeah, if you just tell us what the machine, the clocks on the machines are.
Yeah.
Before we leave the
one more question.
Sorry.
The daily logs were coming in every day. He puts the hours, he puts how much time he spends on it, not necessarily what is written on the machine, but it's what's on there. And I was sending them to you, and then on the 21st of last month, I got a report not to send them. That people didn't want them every day. And I was sending them every day or every other day. And so I held off, and then you got them last night for the rest of the month and up until now.
And
so
that was good. I like the way you did that because then we could do three or four or five at the same time. We don't have to keep coming back in every stinking day and get on the email to see what they were doing. We don't have time to micromanage. You put it in there, you make a list, and then that was a lot better than having.
They don't feel this way, but I feel that by doing this, I'm micromanaging. And I didn't like it.
I know what's going on out there.
Yeah, we've talked it over, and I'm okay with it.
Because he's concerned that we aren't getting something done out there, and so I want.
Was that your concern?
That isn't happening over there. So
I never got that impression. Okay. You're not feeling that nothing's getting done, are you, Dale?
No, I think things are getting done.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I don't think there's a problem with it. I think just the weekly or the even bi-weekly is fine. You know, or you're able to see if there's a deficit somewhere and you could put that out. You know, if something not going right, quite right, and it's not anybody's fault, let us know and we can go from there. But other than that, you know, you can do what we can all sit here and analyze the logs the same as you can.
Well, the point is that you shouldn't have to sit here and analyze them because I'm sending them
you're sending what they're giving you.
On Friday or Saturday, and then you can analyze amongst yourself. Yeah. And if there's something that needs to be changed on the top 10,
I meant daily. If you're getting them daily from him, you can.
I'm not sending
them. Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah, no, I'll send them weekly.
As long as there's communication.
Yeah, that's what
you guys know what's going on, and we know kind of what you're thinking sometimes.
And it's not micromessaging; it's just letting you know.
Well, I know. That's the way I feel. I just feel like we got to let. If we trust Paul and Nancy, we need to leave them, you know, to do the job.
Yeah, because if things aren't getting done, it'll show up.
Yeah, so, 2 months and we're going to go, hey, Paul, what are you doing out there? There's too many picnics. Yeah,
working on Cabin 7 for 2 weeks.
Well, where'd that $2,000 go?
Yeah.
The cruise, huh?
Yeah.
We just need to kind of give them a little more leeway. But that being said, is this at what point in time are we going to talk about their contract with us?
That's an executive meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen.
We should do that first, and then get the ideas together and then present them.
Yeah.
I would like to ask, though, about an evaluation for this month. I've received Robert's.
My evaluation was straight towards him.
That's it. And I haven't sent anything out because everybody was saying that they didn't like the kind of questions around there. So if you email me.
Well, we filled them out, but it makes no sense because
exactly. It's
so broad, it means nothing.
So if you would send me an email evaluation for this month after this meeting, then I will compile them and pass them on.
Maybe there shouldn't, if there wasn't questions on it, I mean, like, if there's no question, if it's just send in your evaluations, then Dale can say, well, I think that all this looks great as far as I can see, but I think there's a more problem in this area. And, each person can do that because, how often do you go into a cabin, Sean?
Now, that's exactly what we need to say. We need to have a little, if you're going to do an evaluation, it's not a checkoff sheet. It needs to be something to say, okay, well, this is what I noticed, or this is what I, whatever.
Yeah.
And you just need to make a little tiny mention instead of, if you got a complaint, write a complaint. If you got a kudo, then send it. But it doesn't have, and we could call that an evaluation, but not a checkoff sheet where we don't even know anything.
Okay, and the checkoff sheet helpfully helps you think of different areas on the ranch to look at that they are in charge of to help them understand how you feel about that. So you've had a lot of people in cabins lately. Have you had any feedback from them that you could share with us that could help them to do their job?
I really don't at the present time.
Okay.
But one thing on that, it's easy for, I know Paul put on one of his reports that he had bladed the roads. In the overall ranch, Paul, have we done 5% of the grading this year?
Uh-oh.
See, so it's easy for people to say, Paul did the grading. Wonderful, we're through with that.
Yeah.
And we haven't even, I wrote down maybe 5%.
Well, again, that's our responsibility as a board, and we need to just stay on top of it.
And for some, I drive the roads, so
yeah,
I know.
So do I.
The same, I know a year ago, somebody said we fixed the fences. And that implied that they had done something on 40 miles of fence.
No.
Well, not about this much, So we can't be critical of Paul when we, you said you fixed fences last month.
Well, he did, but it was only a quarter, a little piece
of all these things. So it's so massive and so big that I'm asking these things so we can protect your dignity and criticism for, well, why didn't you do all these other things?
There was a few years ago that I think it was Ben and yourself said, we need to put a figure on it instead of just a broad, fixed fence. We need to put a how many feet or, how from where to where. And so, I started doing that, and it's helped out for you guys to understand what's going on and for me to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But
regarding roads, we have you over in Crawford area. We have you in Podunk. We've got you down on the main part of the ranch and you up at the upper end of the ranch. We've got you in Slide. We've got it covered as far as roads go. On our board, you guys should report to us on roads and what needs to be done, because you're in those areas.
And he's over roads, so you should report to him.
You should report to him.
That's right.
I think that's excellent, because we've got somebody from each area from the ranch.
That's a good idea. We need a report to Joe, though.
She had a question about security earlier.
Oh, I was just going to ask if the tool on the tools and the equipment, if they were marked in any way. Is there engraving that they belong to the ranch or, anything that would identify it as...
She's right. They should be like, all my tools,
because
professionally, they're all stamped JB.
Then it's less theft.
But and with that in mind, may I add also, suggesting
where's the
equipment custodian. I don't know that there's time for any of the board members to take that on, but it's a focal point. All the equipment, tractors, tools, fuel, everything goes through this equipment custodian, and that custodian is responsible for keeping track of assets and quantities and and anybody that uses them has to go through the equipment custodian and then check it back in through the equipment custodian. That's just a suggestion.
Paul, mark the tools. Yeah. Start by marking. We can't go through every time the ranch manager changes, we just can't go through this. And hopefully the next 20 years we don't have to do it.
Exactly.
So you can take that on when you have 4 feet of snow outside and can't do anything else.
I did buy an engraver. Right. How do you engrave the engraver?
Fingernail polish.
Scratch it with a
nail. Buy a cheap one. That way if it disappears, we're good. Okay. Back to the fence thing. I think we need to have, and that was one that I messed up on. I didn't even catch that, but we need at least a 5-year plan on the fences. You know, where we know where it's going to be, the money's going to be spent. We know where the money's going to be spent and how it's going to be spent. We're not going to run into problems with spending too much money or not enough money. Everything should be done by the board. We should start knowing where we're going to spend money, and outside of emergency stuff. But the fences, I think, would be on Deshauna, wouldn't they?
No, I'm not on fencing. Am I?
That's Dave, I think.
Dave?
Yeah, you know, his facilities, right?
Well, he's got a lot on his plate.
He does. That's good. We need him out there.
I'll tell you what, those cabins are more than I want to handle.
Well, if I'm in charge of fencing, I need to know that.
Yeah.
It's not broke down like
yeah.
that.
I
have agriculture and wildlife.
Yeah.
Facilities. It really doesn't. Facilities and cabin maintenance.
Fencing is part of agriculture.
Yeah, it should be.
Okay, well, then add fencing.
I think it should be under the agriculture.
Okay.
The wildlife committee is wildlife and livestock. And agriculture is agriculture and fencing.
Just so I could throw it out there, so you know, I ordered some maps from Vance, kind of some zoomed in the areas, the three different common areas, and I have had them laminated, so I can kind of go through and mark with a marker and erase and do certain things, and it should be here this next week. But what I want to start doing is mark down what fences we have, what have been built in the last 5 years, what needs to be repaired, what needs to be replaced. There's all these different areas, and I don't know if anybody really knows where all the fence lines are.
I think Larry's probably the only one that's ever walked them all.
There's a handful of people that know exactly where they're at, but to bring a map to the board and say, you know, it's a zoomed-in area, this needs work.
When is the last time we actually inspected the fences? I mean, all of them.
You know, I've walked a lot of fences. I've mended a lot of fences. You know, you get into the BLM fence lines, and that's a totally different animal. But to have something to present to the board so Bob knows, hey, this is why we need money for this area. This whole fence line in this area needs to be replaced. And I'd like to work, you know, when I get them, I'd like to...
The host has joined the conference.
I'd like to come over to Dale and say, hey, can you help me with this? And where do we need to go with this? But some zoomed in areas of those common areas would be very helpful.
That way we can see exactly what's going on.
Because I can show you a map, but it's hard to pinpoint, you know, 300 feet on that big map. Just so you know, I'm kind of working on that, and that's before springtime hits. I want to know exactly where we need to be.
Can he explain this to the board real quick?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, this, for anybody that doesn't know or on the phone, this is an invoice I'm giving Linda for grader and backup work during the end part of August, September, and October. Most of the grading was in Slide Canyon, the lower part of Slide Canyon. Most of you know, or those that don't know, during August, we had a lot of heavy rain, August, September. And for some reason, this year, the rain, not only in Slide Canyon, but Meadow Canyon and other places, you probably have all noticed that it moved more dirt, more silt, and more erosion and damage than, I don't know, for 20 years that I've seen out there. But so this bill includes some of the grading cleanup in Slide Canyon. Some of the backhoe work at the Half Moon water diversion to fill the Half Moon Reservoir. That thing, we had rebuilt it last year, but it sealed it completely full, so I unplugged it again. The lower culvert down at the main county road coming off where the county road goes down into the ranch house had completely, the ditch had silted full and the culvert had silted full, so I cleaned that out. The Bear Spring Pond diversion that fills over into the Red Reservoir, I am not completely finished with that, so that's not on here to totally finish it out. My backhoe is sitting there. And for the board's information, what I've done in the past with other boards is, with my equipment moving back and forth, if I see something that needs to be done that's maybe not an emergency, but it's going to cost $100 for me to fix it as I drive by, if I just forget it and go on, I'm going to have to charge at least $100 just to bring the equipment back to that location to fix it in the future, and then fix it for $100 and then move out for another $100. So it's a $300 fix instead of a $100 fix. So the boards in the past have always said, yeah, we're going to clear you to go ahead and do things as you're moving equipment instead of having to pay you or have Paul take time out to me report back to him and have him take the grader or the Kubota or something else back up to wherever I've seen a problem. So
if I can add, you know, to have somebody kind of on standby, hey, he's in the area, huge asset for the ranch. You know, just to be able to, real quick, on his way, swing by, and, you know, I don't know if you guys know, the culvert, as you drive into the headquarters, is plugged, it's been plugged. The county did some work above, so all the water that's going to go in those ponds would have just went over, but he's just on his way, swung by, dug it out. You know, that's a huge asset for the ranch.
Whenever I move, especially my grader, if I'm moving it from point A to point B, I don't ever drive from Meadow Canyon over to Slide Canyon without doing something. But if I'm going and I'm doing something, I fix that kind of stuff, and I don't charge. It doesn't go in these hours because I'm already going, and it's something like it might delay my trip from being a 20-minute travel time to be a 40-minute or an hour travel time. I don't put those kind of things on here. It's when I have to stop, and Paul can explain to you. Some people think you can just travel the roads with a grader and you're done. If you're fixing 200 yards of road, it's going to take 3 to 5 to 7 passes to do it correctly so that you didn't just damage the roads. And so when I take the time to actually do a fix, that means it may be an hour or 2 hour or 3 hours in one spot to make it right so that you have just...
if I could add, I want to encourage Larry to continue doing this and not be afraid to build the ranch because, you know, it's a...
Well, I think to avoid future problems of which we've had, we should vote on that right now and be done with it. Either yes or no. Either let them do it that way or not let them do it that way.
I didn't know we had a problem. It's always been that way.
The thing is, it's
been
done.
That way, and I just want to know or clear it with each board so that it doesn't come up and say, well, that's not the way.
So we need to make a motion.
So if he brings in a bill that we don't like and we say, well, we should have asked this first.
Yes.
You know, we just need to vote on it, be done with it, and let them either do it or not do it.
Now, so are you making a motion so I can write? You're making a motion.
Right. I'll make a motion. First, before the motion, Brent, what do you have to say about that?
I just want to know if the hour meter's worth on this machine. Just kidding. Here's the thing, you guys. No one, it's hard to find anyone who does more for the ranch than Larry. And as much as I dislike Larry personally, I know he's a very honest guy. Okay?
Yeah,
so it's just, for me, I think it ought to be just blanket. If he submits a bill, there's no question he's done the work.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we all trust Larry,
and you can see it too.
Jody, Dave, what's your say?
I have a question on that. Bear with us, guys, because it's very hard to distinguish what's being said. I couldn't hear all of what Larry was saying, but I think I got the gist of it, that when he's out there and he sees something that needs to be done, he can do it then and not worry about doing a sport. That's good. I don't want to have it open-ended per se. I'd like to have some kind of cap on that. I do trust Larry's judgment on what needs to be done when he's there. But let's say, like, you know, is there a percentage or dollar amount we want to cap that at? Because if it's a project that he knows is going to cost $500 or more, maybe we just say, wait, we better see if we still have that in there, in the budget, how close the end of the year it is in the budget, and that kind of thing, to determine if we can move forward on that. Otherwise, I'd say, yeah.
Okay, Dave? Dave, you there? Jody, can you hear Dave still?
No, I can't hear Dave. Dave, talk to me again.
Okay, well, we don't need Dave to make a decision.
Can I read the motion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have the motion that we pay Larry Clarkson to do the work along the way to work on other projects on the ranch.
And it does not need to be pre-approved.
Yes.
Not pre-approved. And I will second that.
I don't know if it was last year or the year before when we talked about this a little bit, the same kind of question came up that Jody just raised about dollar amount. And I think at the time, I don't remember if it was set for the year or per project, but it was somewhere around, if something obviously is a $2,500 single fix, I may go ahead and start on it or address the emergency part of it, just so that, okay, I know it's going to rain tomorrow, and if the rain cuts through the road, it's going to be a $5,000 fix. I'll start that, but not do the whole thing and then come back and hit you with a $2,500 bill. In fact, this bill, for everybody's information, is about $1,800, and that's several different little things that were, you know, $200 here, $400 here, and spread out over the course of August, September, and October.
And it's all over.
The way I operate, I keep a little daily book, and so when I go back through, for instance, I mean, I opened up to July 27th, which was my birthday. I was working on my birthday. I'd only I worked for four different people on July 27th, and I just have a note that I worked on DSROA culverts for 5 hours. Okay, that was actually when I was there along the fish ponds redoing the three culverts that feed into the fish ponds. It was really cutting into the main road. But so I don't bill every single week or every single month, but as it accumulates up to a point where I think, oh, I better get this turned in before the board doesn't have a heart attack, then I just go back through my book and pick out, here's a little DSR grading here, here's a little DSR backhoe work here. So if there's ever any questions, I can itemize down exactly what's done.
Yeah, I was fishing that day. You were there about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Well, I think rather
than... Larry?
Yes.
Can we get you to... So we don't have a heart attack, could we get you to bill us like once a month or once every 2 months at the latest, and that way it will be small chunks of change and we can manage it better?
Yeah.
In the future.
I could do that.
If you even did it like once every 2 months, I would feel really better about that, that we wouldn't have any big things come up that we just didn't know about.
How about this? If we put, if it is a major project of 2,000 or more, we'll get the board's approval.
Yeah, Dave Turley's
back. How much or more?
2,000.
2,000?
Because his bill now, just for little things, is 1,800. If you know, and if he's just doing that every so often. But we're just talking about if it's a big project over like 2,000, he thinks it's going to be. He at least.
Let's go with a big project over 1,000, because that one he has now is combined of a few months. So if we have it every 2 months and it doesn't go over 1,000, then we'd still be really close to being around our total budget for the year.
The three bills that we have this year so far, $725, $1,495, and then this $1,820. So
I think Larry basically said exactly what Jody's saying, and he's not gonna start a big project without talking to us, but he'll take care of the emergency stuff.
And I don't want people to get the wrong impression about small projects and big projects. This bill right here actually includes
the host has joined the conference.
Some big projects. The cleanup of the lower part of Slide Canyon, well, and I'd say the lower part, I've graded Slide Canyon from the Forest Service boundary, which is the farthest north upper part of the canyon, all the way to the county road. So the entire main Slide Canyon Road, I've done multiple times. DSROA hasn't been billed for all of that, partially because if I'm working over there driving back and forth in a backhoe or a dump truck or anything else, I can't stand to drive over some of the crap that you guys drive over and don't do anything about. So I've eaten part of it. I've made my dad pay me for part of it because some of the work's been on his projects and his lots. And DSROA, if I feel that it's something that should be the standard that a Deer Springs road should be in, that's when I bid Deer Springs for the work that I do. If I want it extra smooth and fluffy, I do that because I like to ride in comfort.
So I think what Larry said is basically $1,000. And I think that would cover you for any emergencies, and then if you got to go further, you just shoot us an email.
Right.
I second that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, and does the motion have in it, as Jody has suggested, perhaps have him every 2 months, if that's not too difficult.
That's
in the books.
It's down on the minutes, but it's not in the motion.
Why are you talking about that?
Because we seconded
it. Has any decision been made on the agreement that Dirk wanted with DSROA and the county?
He said
where
not it,
at the annual meeting he asked if he could get a written agreement about taking the county equipment up to work on Crawford Pass, you know, through the Deer Springs Ranch to work on Crawford Pass Road. Has that been followed through on?
I don't think it's been mentioned since Dirk.
Okay. Are you guys going to work on that?
Yes. I think what we ought to do is take care of this behind the scenes, and in the next meeting we come in and...
Because we're taking a long time.
But that was brought up to me by...
It was. I forgot all about it. We just haven't talked about it.
Okay, so this motion has been made and seconded, and they need to
get
it.
Everybody in favor?
Yeah, reread the entire...
Anybody against?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it? I couldn't hear it.
All right. Read the motion.
Okay, we pay Larry Clarkson to do the work along the way to work on other projects on the ranch. We have on the ranch, not... We pay Larry Clarkson to do the work along the way to work on other projects we have on the ranch, not pre-approved. If it is a major project of $1,000 or more, he will get the board approval first.
Well, she mentioned a cap of $1,000.
That's in there.
Okay. Yeah, that's in there.
And his payment should...
And can we add in there about the at latest every 2 months for an invoice?
No, I'm not putting that in the motion. That's just what you asked him, and he agreed to that.
Well, I think it should be stipulated if we're being held accountable.
Yeah, you can put it right in the motion.
Put it in the motion.
2 months.
That waits in the minutes of the meeting.
That's basically what I'm doing now. This bill is for September and October. We're at the beginning of November. We're getting the bill for work done. And the last one that Linda got was in August.
My only request, Larry, is you convert your hour meter from 24 volts back to 12 so it goes slower.
Okay, everybody in agreement?
Yep.
Okay.
I have a positive. I'm not on the board, but I know that there was a fit thrown when the reservoirs were all cleaned out and prepared, and isn't it wonderful that we have water in our reservoirs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is just absolutely the most wonderful thing. Every time I go to the ranch and see water in there, I just get all
That's why we live here.
Teary-eyed.
The year that they did that, I think I commented both to Larry and Dale how wonderful it was to open up all those ways and see how the water flowed from Pioneer Times, how they had that working and had that opened up. It was really exciting to me, too.
Let me ask you another clarification. Linda, are you comfortable with this? Two items. Can Larry and Paul talk together and do this without going through you?
Yeah, they don't come through me now.
Well, no, I know, but you raised that issue that you didn't want me to talk to Paul about mowing and stuff or fences without going through you. Oh. So I'm thinking, I think we should trust each other and move ahead and not take a lot of time in here, but I want to know whether you were comfortable with that.
Yeah, we have to trust each other, otherwise this board's going to be fighting all year.
I think the only reason that it goes through Linda is so that there's, it's a, it makes us accountable because she, because you can't, not you specifically, but somebody can't specific, can't have an idea that they thought they made clear to Paul, and Paul didn't get the impression that it was, you know, priority, for instance. If it goes to Linda, Linda sends us an email and says, okay, this needs to be done. That way it's all out, it's clear, and if we don't do it, then there's an issue.
In the same token, Paul, when somebody, yeah, one of the board members might come to you, and I've talked to you, but I've never asked you to do something, I told you what my priorities are. But if somebody comes to you and specifically asks you to do something, and it's more than a 5-minute job, you go, you say, go talk to Linda. She's the one in charge, you know, and that's the one that's writing the check.
We have our priority list, and we have all these million.
We're not in charge.
I'm not in charge.
We have this priority list, which, you know, we've come up with, you guys have come up with, and I have all these other, you know, other things to do. You know, if I'm spending time with Larry, you guys have to understand, you know, Larry doesn't have a whole lot of time, so I need to
drop what you're doing and go.
Go.
That's part of your responsibility.
As long as there's communication up there, that's all that. That's all.
Well, if it's something that you're not comfortable with, you can put it back on Linda's back.
It'll go back in our log anyway. Yeah. So if he goes and spends 4 hours with Larry, he's going to say, "I spent 4 hours with Larry learning how to do this," or blah blah blah. Right. And then that way it's out there again, and it makes everybody accountable. Everybody can see it. Nobody's going, "Well, you know, I drove up to the ranch and I didn't see Paul anywhere, and I came back 2 hours later, and I still didn't see Paul anywhere. I don't know where he was." You can look in the log and say, "Oh, well, he was over behind the hills cleaning a ditch with Larry."
That first of all, if you're not there for 4 hours, nobody should be asking any questions.
Well, yeah,
so let's move on. Everybody in favor of that last motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
So be it.
Aye.
Jody?
She said aye.
She said aye.
Okay, good. All right.
Joe,
real quick.
Real quick.
Well, not real quick. You're up.
On the roads and fire.
Tell us a little bit about the fire thing first, if you would.
Well, we met with Larry. Brent and I met with Larry. Earl Levanger. And they do have assets that are available. I don't know if they're still going to be available for us. They were paying for parting of the limbing and trimming. They want to go, you know, 30 feet. Basically, wasn't it 30? What's Brent say? 30 feet off the road, so the fire can't crown over.
Can't crown over.
And what he said, they proposed to what's the name of the company? Bryce Canyon or something? Bryce Woodlands?
Bryce Woodlands is a subdivision.
Yeah, they went to the members and asked them what they wanted to do, sent each one of them a letter, and got authorization from them to do so, and then went to the board and got it all done that way. So he suggests we do that here also. Instead of the board making a decision and then trying to force it down the homeowners, let's go to the homeowners and see if they're willing to accept it and go from there.
Well, I don't think with the way Dale set this up, with the right-of-ways, we have to.
Well,
I mean, as a courtesy, say this is what
we're going to
do.
If you were a homeowner, it's a little bit different.
If we're trying to stop fire from coming onto Deer Springs and one property owner doesn't want it, that affects all 300 lots.
True.
So we need to make that decision as a board, whether or not to go through with it, and then just give a courtesy letter. Hey, there's going to be a 30-foot slosh across the BLM land.
Yeah, but they're also talking about members' input in terms of members actually putting some money into this as well. Getting the members on board, not just the board saying we're going to rush through and do this, because there will be excess monies needed.
I hate to say this, but would you explain what you're talking about? Are you going to clear cut 30 feet off of every road, off the sides of every road? What is it saying?
Select the trees that would prevent.
So they're going to thin along 30 feet of road. Okay.
Thin it out. Not do what they did down by.
Okay, well, that's what I'm asking. I just don't know what you're saying. It wasn't all
clear yet either. He doesn't have all the answers. He was saying this is what they recommend, to thin it out, leave selected trees there, remove certain selected trees that would cause the fire to keep going.
Lynette?
I think that, and I don't know who you talked to, but RUI is already implemented. It's been in place And all of the members should know that we are in that area. And if we don't comply, we can't get a building permit. And so that is a state law for fire prevention. And BLM will do some of it at their expense.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. You know, there are some funds available through the state. Part of what he was saying also was when they're going through, you know, he's going to be by lot 109, or this group's going to be by, this is an example, going to be by lot 109. Anybody else in this area, you know, if you wanted to pitch in and you know, hey, this is what I'd like on my lot, right?
He said some of the homeowners, they do complain, and they've actually stopped the process.
I think the discussion needs to be put out there with the membership, saying, hey, you know, we do have these fire measures in place, and this is what we'd like done on your property, and, you know, there's examples.
But again, no matter what, we're going to have one of the property owners is not going to want it done.
Right.
And it's still going to come back on the board. I think just letting them know what's going to happen. We're opening up a can of worms if we start. Are you okay with it? You're not okay with it? We're going to end up with the biggest fight we ever had on this board.
Well, hold on, because that can't be exactly right. Because if you come along somebody's private property and say you got to move it 30 feet, it's not a law that they have to thin out their property 30 feet back
from
the road.
You're right.
And if it's going to cost them money, you have got to have their approval. And I wouldn't even move forward with it unless they say okay, because there's going to be people who don't want that.
Well,
you know,
again,
I mean, they may have a
dream. The one great thing about Deer Springs Ranch is the right of way is already there.
Right.
The board can make that decision. We have a right of way around every lot in this subdivision.
But you have X amount of right of way. You can't go on to their private property and say that.
She's right. Between you and me, I wouldn't want that thin.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, there's different zones that they're really looking at pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's gonna be all. Like I say,
if it's on common area, then yes. But if you're going right onto somebody's property, you can't do that. Now you have private property rights. You can't tell somebody we're going to come up and
well, I think legally, if Dale set up the subdivision to do use the 30-foot right of way that goes through every lot to put in waters, stuff like that. If you put a water line in, you're going to be clearing it. And the property owner does not have to give an okay to do it. That's why he did it.
But yeah, but a lot of the roads up there are not in that easement. They're old existing roads right away. I think we do not claim a 60-foot.
I guess in my brain I'm looking at the BLM property line all around the whole ranch. You know, where that's what I'm looking at is the fire not coming onto our ranch at all. You know, I don't think the actual property lines have roads, do they? Some of them do. And even like up our road, Linda and I, it doesn't follow the property line. It's some places that's 65 feet from the property line.
I wouldn't worry a lot about it. The government does not have the budget. They've talked about clearing the Meadow Canyon Road. And 3 or 4 years ago, they did a little on one side. They were going to do the other side. 10 years from now, they may. They talk about the overhanging oak up at the wet meadow. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I wouldn't worry a minute about it.
Okay. Roads?
Closed.
Roads?
What's that? Roads?
Oh, wait a minute. Jody, you okay?
We lost her.
I'm sorry, was there a decision being made on? I'm just hearing general conversation.
No, we're not making any decisions.
Just general.
We're just moving on.
I'm
well, I was kind of agreeing with you, Art, on that. I thought that if we had a 30-foot easement around all the properties, then we did have the right to do that. So I guess that's something we need to just find out for sure how that works.
Well, again, it'd be nice to get input from the members.
Now, some of the literature I read said if a fire starts on your property, let's say it starts on my lot, 109, and I haven't limbed and trimmed and thinned out, and it goes to, let's say she was my neighbor, and it goes to her lot, she might be able to hold me liable for not having it cleaned.
That's
so
why.
There's some.
Yeah, that's why the board needs to make that decision.
So
if the right of way is there, we need to make the
this
decision.
This has to be discussed a lot more than what we are.
Yeah.
And find out much more what Earl's going to say about it.
Right.
Can we do an article in a newsletter and get it out to the membership about this subject?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brent and I have talked about that with Earl, and that's the way we should approach it. He said, put out a newsletter to the members.
Yeah, let's do that, because we need to put a newsletter out in November.
Look, say, I hadn't had time, because with my vacation and on a cruise, and I'm kind of behind on doing a lot of my stuff right now.
I don't think we need to do anything on that.
Right.
The Forest Service is encouraging people that have cabins to clear so that the fire won't go to them or spread from them.
Right.
The BLM is basically the same thing on what they talked to us when they was here before. The road right-of-ways on the main roads going up. We're not going to talk about everybody's little road going into their place.
Yeah.
But the thinning that was done on parts of the roads,
yeah,
it didn't damage anybody's thing. Most of it's on common property or on BLM.
Well, and the way I remember that, it was an example. Earl came out and did that to show what should be done, and that's how they could help.
And if the property owners that are right there need a little bit of firewood, there's no problem. They can come and get it, or the mulch and stuff. And it's protecting everything. I mean, it's not, if you've got an individual that you know doesn't want to have anything, skip theirs right now. Put a thing in the bulletin that says, we've been encouraged by the Forest Service, by the BLM, to make our lots safe from natural fires, and maybe stay in there. If we don't imply on our particular lot and a fire starts there, the liability could be on our shoulders if it spreads to the neighbors. And that's all you need to do.
Yeah. I think I'm going to leave personally, this is personal, not as a board member, I think I'm going to leave my feelings and trust what Brent has to say, because he's been fighting fires all his life.
Yeah.
And if he says that, and you know, that's fine, and that's good input, because there's certain areas of the ranch that don't need anything.
Right.
You know, and that's, and we just need to find the trouble spots, and maybe he can help us find the trouble spots.
Right.
And we can go in on our, if we have to, we go in on our own and do it.
Right, and then work
the place.
Yeah.
The less trouble.
But we have to be responsible. And part of my job is the public safety. And if somebody up on the backside by Phil Hall's doesn't want their lot trimmed along the road and it comes down and burns every place up here, I feel that that's our responsibility, is not to let that happen. Especially where he put a right-of-way through every lot. We don't need their permission yet, and I'm speaking for the other 300, the other 299 lot owners. We have one lot owner that says no. Who else's board members have to take every lot owner in consideration?
Right, that's true. But if you put that statement in the
newsletter,
information that they get, that they could be liable if the fire started there, and
yeah, they would probably take care of it. But in the instance, I'm saying the instance that they won't. I'm just talking the instance they won't. There will be people who will not do it.
Okay, but do the others first, and then
yeah. I guess it's just going the route. That's good input. Thank you.
A lot of time to get it done anyway.
Okay,
you have to understand the government's interest in this. You know, this is 8,000 acres of their
fire.
You know, and it's. They're working on their part, the forest up, you know, above the ranch. BLM's working on their part. You know, they're trying to get us to kind of comply with this.
We need ticket service.
Right.
I have a question. Is that in exception to the burn that was being talked about? Are they still going to do an environmental burn?
They probably will. I haven't confirmed it yet. They're saying that their staff has been cut down because of the governments, and they're doing less, and it's going to be cut down even more. So less is going to be done, so the burn may not even
happen. Oh, good. I hope it doesn't. I'd rather trim.
They want to, but they don't know.
Yeah.
Sure.
We had a lightning started fire up by my place. If I hadn't been up there working, it would have burned clear down in probably towards the ranch.
Hey, I fought fires there, too, haven't I, Paul?
Yeah. And
we've been lucky.
Started a burn I started until I got so thirsty one time. I had to go back and get a drink of water, and then I brought half a dozen shovels that I had up there, and in a half hour they were all busy, and we were building a burn. When they finally got up there about 2 or 3 hours later, the BLM, they were debating whether to let it go or not. It wasn't monument then, it's monument now, but it was out in there. But it was working slowly towards, it was started by a lightning strike. And okay. It was in an old tree that had been, the post had been cut out of, so you had a big gnarl in the bottom, and it was raining. And it, the lightning hit it that night. I was up there overnight, and in the morning I was out working, and all of a sudden I saw this column of smoke going up when the sun had dried it up. And that was, the wind was very light, but it was in every direction, just pace. And we was working about 2 feet away from the burn. Boy, that would hit a little pinyon pine, and you'd hear a whoosh, and that'd be up in flame in seconds, the whole tree. But we had a fire break about maybe 300 or 400 yards by the time they got there. And then they debated, and then they come in and they took 2 or 3 days to put it out and put the hot spots out. You can still see where that burn was.
That's the time they came in with the flames, too, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is where we're going to have some work, though. So we got our hands full here with this.
The homeowner could be liable if it starts at his property and leaves and goes to the next property. Then
this also pops down to my one of my responsibilities of public safety. And same with the roads. Do you have anything about the roads?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I haven't been here since the meeting. I don't know what the roads even look like.
You want one of these to take off?
Okay. When I get down on myself, I'm going to bring up the roads again, and I don't want to step on anything you're doing, or I can do it right now. It doesn't matter. Be done with it.
Okay.
It's up to y'all.
Go ahead. Go for it.
What do you have?
Well, my job with the public safety and the communications, well, all three of them, the roads. Okay, we have a liability. Okay, anything that happens on the ranch, from the horse thing that, we can be held liable for anything that happens. There's going to be areas on the ranch after the rains or just something that's been overlooked that's been that is a public safety issue. There's a road out on Johnny Brown that if you're going more than 3 miles an hour, you're going to kill yourself. And it needs to be fixed. Okay, things like that. But I'm not bringing it up to say you do it now. My point is that we need to get this stuff listed, what we need to get done. Flip side of that, Scudapah Road, we got the, as far as I was concerned, was the runaround at the board meeting. I listened to, we're not planning on doing anything with the Scudapah Road. The fact is, I want to see in writing, we had one of the members could have got killed on the way out, didn't it? Yeah. And that kind of thing it's probably we wouldn't be responsible for that. But she is a board member. She crashed because of the road. Maybe because she didn't know how to drive on the road. I don't know. Sweet lady. We got the runaround from the county. We've been getting it for 20 years out here. Now, and Dale and some of us that have places, you, Joe, there's a pretty good tax base out here now. And it's every year somebody's building. And they're getting tens of thousands of dollars out here in revenue. And we get nothing. We don't get the public safety. We don't get anything. Yeah, they'll come out with an ambulance conditions permitting. But there's always a couple of 3 weeks during the year that you can't get out here.
Take them an hour anyhow.
Yeah, and you're dead.
Under good conditions.
Yeah.
Good conditions.
They get, number one, the tax-based money. Okay, from the part of the budget that goes into the road maintenance. And then they get this check from the BLM, the federal government, for the fuel tax. Now, I talked to one of the people from the BLM, one of the people who happened to write the check to the county. And she went, and this is, she would deny it. She went to her boss and said, why are we going to give this to them? They never put any money into the road. And I want to know and I'd like to go with you at some point to a commission meeting, get on the agenda, and get some figures from them. Because we got the absolute runaround at the meeting. And they've got how many yards, Dale, do you know how many yards of gravel are sitting there in that pile out there? There's got to be enough to fix a half a dozen of the bad spots.
That's sitting on BLM property.
They can. I guarantee you, we can go down there tomorrow morning and get an okay to take that gravel. I guarantee you we can get it.
Well, something you can throw out there also is my kids have to go to school every day.
Yeah.
You know, that road, you know, we haven't had hardly any moisture out there. That road's tore up. And you get a little bit of moisture, and, you know, it's going to be impassable this year.
So anyway, if you'd be okay with that, maybe we could go in and sit down at a commissioner meeting and also sit down with the BLM. There's some issues with right-of-way still that we could, you know, bring up and get finalized once and for all. You know, and make sure that we're on the same page as the BLM is with the roads that we have.
You know, back to roads. When I was talking to Earl, he mentioned it, the fires, you need a way to get out, in and out. You need a way in, you need a way out. And it dawned on me, Phil Hall's road is so good that when I can't get up my road, I go through Phil Hall's and come around backwards to get to my place. And it dawned on me, Phil Hall has 25 to 50 to 80 people, kids, that go up to his place for Boy Scout camp or church camp or whatever it is, I don't know. But I'm in favor of it. He's done a good job. What happens? What if all the people go up there on a dry day and then lightning strikes and rain and his road catches on fire between the ponds and his place? He can't get out that way. The only way he can get out is to go past my place. You go past my place, you get down where Paul fixed that culvert. That road is so slippery, half the people up there are in two-wheel vehicles. The first two-wheel vehicle going down my road over that dike on lot 109 is going to jam up and stop, and everybody from their back is going to be stuck.
We have, and the ranch will be held responsible.
Yeah. And the ranch will be held responsible.
We have
it's just like Slide Canyon. You come down that road, when it rains, I've been down that road from Ken Lynch's place, following Barbara Button. We're both going on a road like this.
Yep. So we're going to have to work together on
the
public safety
with some of those little bad spots. I mean, some of those bad spots are only a quarter mile long or less.
Who knows? Maybe if the county's not going to use that gravel over there, maybe we can get permission to take it at 50 cents a yard.
But I'd hate to see 50 Boy Scouts or little church members this big get stuck in the fire and they can't get out.
Yeah.
You're in charge of it.
Okay. Well, anyway,
you're in charge of it.
I'm in charge of that.
Thank you.
Okay, that takes care of you and I. I'm done with mine.
Can I give you a little background on the list?
Sure.
Well, Joel's not finished. He didn't finish his list.
On the road issue, the county maintained the roads for many years, and then we had a monument created.
I know.
And then the fight in there, and in that fight, the monument doesn't take care of roads. They just don't. And the county refused to, and that money that came, that the lady said, why should we pay the county? They're not doing anything. They were refusing to because they said those are their.
That's not totally true. I personally went with Robin Sargent to the government, and I gave the letter that I got from them to get a full. This is right in the middle of that fight.
Mm-hmm.
By the head of the BLM, signed it right in front of other people and witnesses. That the county could go and do anything they want to that road, anything, except for paving.
Oh, let me explain.
No, I did it personally.
I know, and that's true. But the problem came down to liability.
Right.
If they did it, then the county would be liable, and it wasn't their road, it was the BLM road. And that's where it came down to liability. It had nothing to do with it. Everybody was batting the ball.
Well, their excuse was that they didn't have the jurisdiction.
They did. And that's right.
And it turned out. But we were talking, okay, the liability. So the county's going to say, okay, we're not going to do it because somebody's going to get killed and blame us. And the BLM won't do it because somebody gets killed and they're going to blame us. I mean, so where are we with this thing? We didn't
get anything done. That's the point.
Yeah, there was 5 years there that they need, that somebody owes us that money.
And on all of that, and on in the entire county now, the county has gotten the roads back, and they're doing a lot of catch-up, and they have. They've been working hard to get it.
Yeah, the other areas. So it's always the other areas. It's never Schoonin Power Road.
Deer Springs will come up soon.
They will.
Sure.
We'll get it. We will get it.
Yeah. All right, sure, let's move on. Okay, ranch activities, wildlife, agriculture.
Are we going to finish? Okay.
We're done.
He didn't finish anything on his list. He only said fire.
We finished.
You didn't finish Joe.
Yeah. He didn't have anything on the road.
On A, just fire and roads.
No, go down.
You have grader.
Well, the grader, as far as I know, that's all been handled. Grader tires
are. We can take that off.
Grader tires are taken care of. We're going to maybe have.
We have a truck.
Alan Steed's guy come by and check it. The truck has been purchased, so that's done.
Right.
How much was the truck for? I never even heard it.
$7,900, wasn't it?
$7,000 plus tax title license fee.
Now, is that all paid for?
Yeah. It's going to be $7,000 with plus tax title and license fee. Came out to $40 under budget.
And the Kubota was put on there because of the repairs that were done previously, and that's all been handled.
Okay.
I still want to check the AC out next year when I come up.
We also, we definitely need a priority is the four-wheel drive.
And I want to see if I can help
we have to
the
haul
four-wheel
it
drive on that also.
Okay.
And if I can't, then we'll have to send it out.
That'd be great.
And the Rhino was taken care of.
Yeah.
The new exhaust system was put on. So that was on here, and it's already been done, unless there's something else wrong with it.
Somebody
that's Dave Turley. He's having a hard time hearing on the thing. Can you hear us better now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Oh, I say the Rhino's been taken care of, unless there's more problems with it.
Yeah,
done. So, the only thing in question now for me is tires for the Kubota in the future for next year. And finding out why we're having flats and if we can have Alan Steve's people help us with that. And then we should be up to speed.
Well, the tires for the truck also.
So that needs to be put on the budget, right? Okay. Budget for the tires for the Kubota.
New tires for the new truck? Is that what you said?
Next year.
That's going to run the ones
doesn't have mud and snow on them. It's got regular tires, I understand.
Right.
Okay.
Which?
I didn't even, you know, those tires will probably go pretty good. I have summer tires on my Ranger that you saw.
Uh-huh.
I went up to Pink's and mud this deep, summer tires.
You just have to be careful and,
yeah.
And you know, I talked to Mike. He said he'd give you $100 for the ones that are on there now.
Next year?
You know, for credit for new tires.
Is the truck out here in the
day? Okay. I thought those were almost new tires.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're street tires.
And he'll give us $100?
Yeah.
And it'll cost us $1,000?
That's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, no, you keep them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I personally don't think, Paul, you're going to need snow tires. That truck is right there. I think you're going to be, if you know how to drive out there, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I've never had snow tires out there. Shauna, you want to bring up what we talked about coming in? Or you want to let it go?
I still need the tires.
No, I'm not doing anything. I have nothing to do with
me. You can let it go?
I have nothing to do with me. I'll let that take care of itself. Okay.
Don't hurry.
I have two things. We were talking on agriculture and wildlife. We have, now Paul has collected, according to your report, you have collected $500 in trespass fees. There's some cabins that were rented also?
I think so.
Do you know how many cabins were rented because of the wildlife?
For the hunt?
Yeah.
That happens every fall.
I know. So
we ended up probably, this time I think it was three or four. Was it two?
It was two because the other people didn't get that.
Oh, that's right. They didn't
the one guy was a lot owner. Okay. I don't know what happened on that.
And two others were some that...
And two others were outside their trespass, but you got the trespass fee off.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and just so you're aware, those are just people driving by. They wanted to know about it. I called Larry. He said, yeah, let's get them. Got them. They didn't take a deer on the ranch, but you know what? We got $500 out of the deer.
I have a question. Who determines who can go on the properties and through the gates? And the reason I ask this is just when we were walking down the street of Kanab last night to go to dinner, I overheard a conversation of some gentlemen. And this guy was complaining that he got stopped on the Deer Springs Ranch property, and he went through this gate and was asked, well, you know, you're not supposed to be here. And he said, well, Larry Clarkson said I could. So how is that determined?
That's interesting.
Because there should be, you know, if Larry Clarkson can give permission for people to go, then he...
Why would they not want to be stopped?
Something that a lot of people don't understand is during the deer hunt, we're supposed to allow a certain number of people to hunt on the ranch. It's very selective, and we don't promote it.
Okay, but is there any kind of contact given to you, or is there pass, a written pass that's given to them?
Yep, we do communicate back and forth, and it's kind of strictly monitored.
You can always have people going through there that don't care about anything.
Well, I just overheard that conversation. Well,
I'm actually glad to hear that, because he's stopping people if you don't recognize him.
And I understand.
And I think that's about all we can expect out of that road unless we put a gate up.
And he didn't say what road. He did say he went through a gate.
Yeah, well, that's the back gate he's talking about.
Well, then Larry Clarkson is also our wildlife expert on the ranch. Mm-hmm.
So if he's got permission from Larry, he's probably going to say okay. Yeah, but if he needs to know where they're going to hunt, then what happens is Paul can show them where the private property is, or Larry can show them. It's been Larry, but Paul is doing it.
Right, so I'm just saying, evidently, if this guy had Larry's permission, there was no communication to Paul or anyone else.
Yeah.
Larry wouldn't have given permission to hunt on the property.
He didn't say hunting. He just said he was on the property and went through the gate. And
you know, during hunt season, it's really kind of monitored. Just because it is private property, and right. You know, there are cabin sites and people living in these cabins, and, you know, it's a big deal.
We had a person out front of the ranch last summer that had two flat tires. I managed to get with this spare, managed to get them up and running. They needed to go back to Kanab and get tires, and one of the tires was leaking air. Well, what I did is I said, "Come on, follow me up, and I'll make sure you get up there." I took him up over the Pinks. He had a four wheel drive. And he was able to get the tire. I couldn't get them in Kanab because they didn't have them. But they had them up at Bryce Canyon. So I said, yeah, go for the ranch. Let's go. You know, stuff like that, I think we just need to be friendly.
Yeah, but how would you know if I told someone?
Well, the fact that he knew Larry Clarkson, I think I would have probably just
not.
But you don't know. The guy being upset that he got stopped is ridiculous. Because Larry gave, John Doe permission to cross the ranch, he didn't take a picture of him and email it to Paul and say, here's the guy that will be on the ranch, don't stop him and say something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't mean that there wasn't communication.
Right. I would think, if there was some kind of a
well, the thing, that would turn out right, because Paul stopped him. I mean, we can't ask any more of that.
I don't know if you've been out there, but I put up signs. I don't really like the signs. I think I'm going to take them down after the elk hunt, but I locked the gate, and I put a sign up at the fork up above the gate and just saying, hey, don't go down this way. Gate's locked. Don't get stuck down there.
Well, that's fine. But, I'll ask it. I was just concerned about the permission side of it all.
We can't stop everybody.
I know.
But
sometimes I thought that the decision was made the last year or two that we not lock the gate at all.
Yes, we did.
We did make that decision. You know, and I asked about it before I did it. I talked to Larry. He said, lock it for a few days during the deer hunt.
BLM and the Forest Service.
They tell us we can't.
Have said, you do not lock the gate.
Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't lock the gate.
I thought we had to lock it during
what? I locked it for 4 days.
We have it. It looks like it's locked, but it is not actually locked because they got to get people out.
Just the lock on there, that's a great thing.
I had a lock on there for 4 days, and, it's a battle. I mean, do you put it on? Do you want... I don't know.
Well, the board had made a decision. We did make that decision that we don't want to lock it because of safety reasons.
At all.
Then we lose our...
And it looks like...
This is what we were told. Why we lock the gate at least one day a year is if we don't lock it one day a year, then Meadow Canyon becomes a public road.
Where did
you
hear that?
That's true. So lock it on December 31st.
Okay. That's why we locked it for the last 5 years.
December
31st. Lock it.
One day or something, but we have to have it for safety.
You'll find you get a lot more damage if you lock a gate.
Yep.
I went up there one time when I was, and someone had taken the time to put wood slivers in the lock and pound it in so you couldn't use the lock when it was locked. But
we've seen it over the years. People are going to go through it.
To let them go through, and to have them
destroy the fence. The town.
We need to re-vote on this again.
No. Let's move on.
So now that you just understand, okay?
Shawnee.
Okay, I'm not done. I have another thing I want to talk about, and if Paul, if you'll bring that map on the fence, that would be awesome. If that's going to be part of my department.
Hey, I don't know if you talk about activities, just real quick, for anybody interested, the cattle drive has started.
Today and tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday and today.
They're not driving today and tomorrow.
So this next week is kind of...
Next week they're going to.
They're going down to Johnson, they're going down to the Perea, so if anybody's interested.
They're not.
We haven't had we've had no takers, so we tried that a few times, and anyway, but that's okay. If they want to do it, that's great. And then, so we'll put that for next week. And on this spike, I'm trying to find out what the best price is on the spike. We talked about buying more and putting it out in the fields. And, yes.
Most of the fields are covered with rabbit brush, and spike does not take care of the rabbit brush.
Okay. I have another alternative, and I would like to bring in a person to talk next month on this particular item. So
I've talked with Carl Gerber with the county.
Yeah, I know. But I will.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will bring a report next month. Okay. I brought one, but we don't have a lot of time.
If you didn't put that on the agenda to talk about it, could you shoot us out an email to give us an idea so that we're prepared by the time we get them here? That way we won't waste the whole hour with the guy.
You know, no, we don't want to. I want
going through it.
Okay.
Okay, you done?
I'm done.
Thank you. Dale?
Oh, can we back up for a second?
Go ahead. Okay, it's hard to remember you there. I'm sorry, Jody.
Okay, thanks.
It's like I'm looking at this thing. It looks like a spaceship. It doesn't resemble you at all.
And we feel like we can hear you from the moon. It's just so far away. It's so scratchy. It's difficult.
Maybe we need to do something a little better.
And because this were on Sean's part, I don't know if this is the right place to bring this in. I don't know any other better place. But is there? We've tried to do this before. We tried to ask before, but it's on it. Can we? I find it's really difficult to get the minutes so late after we have the meeting, because then I have to go back, or we have to go back and re-listen to the recording to get what was really said, to know if we, you know, have approval of those minutes or not. Can we make can we get those minutes within a week or two at the latest after the meeting, so we don't have to go back and re-listen to the tape? Could that be possible?
I would love to if you guys respond, but I did that days, and then nobody ever even responded.
Okay, well, that's an easy fix, Jody. We'll take care of it. We'll do our best to have it out in less than 2 weeks.
A couple weeks would be great.
Thank you.
The canal that Larry mentioned up at Bear Springs is desperately in need of being cleaned out. These storms this year did move more dirt than has been moved in years and years and years.
I missed what spring it was?
Bear Spring. And a diversion is just level. The pond over in Slide Canyon is just level. There's no capacity in they fill
what,
up.
What's your suggestion?
I don't really know.
Where is Bear Springs? I don't know.
What?
Where is Bear Springs?
It's up by the Iron Gate.
It's up by the pond on the right. Yeah.
Well, the pond on the right. He's already started digging it out a little bit.
Yeah, he's done some. But it filled up solid down through there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
If any of you want to look at that diversion dam, you'll get a feel as to what, you know, just level out across through there.
How many gallons of water do you think went through there?
Oh, I don't know. Several million.
Millions,
yeah. The spillway did good, and the rest of things did good.
Can you come up with a suggestion, or did we all try to?
Oh, I'm...
Other than spending money...
what happened in the past is let it dry out and have a bulldozer come in and
make it a little
clean
bigger.
It out again. I don't know if there's some water projects that you want to talk about.
Well, I would like
I'm continuing to work on several different springs, several different areas where people could get water for their lots. I think that is a key. That more people would use their lots if they had water available to them.
Okay. I think a lot of our contention with the board over the past, 20, 30 years? I don't know. don't know how many years ago did the contention start? 20? Maybe a little
about
longer.
20.
Yeah.
No less.
I think one of the reasons we're having a problem as a board is we seem to just, this thing comes up and we don't have enough money, and then it gets done and something else comes up. If we can come up with each, the cabins, the roads, the water, the fire prevention, if we can come up with a 5-year plan and have it down where, okay, 3 years from now, we don't have the money for 3 years to work on that spring, but 3 years from now we're going to spend $3,500 on it. You know, and we plan for that instead of the, you know, all the time. And if you want it done and you decide to do it and go to the board later with permission, you know the deal that happened with the road. We can't get into that anymore. The fighting is not worth anything. If we're going to fight out here, we might as well not have the ranch. You know, this is probably the greatest meeting I've ever been to. I mean, out of all the meetings I've done for all the years, 5 years in a row without missing a meeting, this is probably the first one that we haven't got into a fight already by this point in the meeting. And I think everybody's going to agree that it's going to be a wonderful thing to come here and sit down as friends and try to work this out. But it's not going to happen if we don't have a plan. And we're going to always have this, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We all have our own ideas. But if you come up with a 5-year water plan, we vote on it, and it works. Joe comes up with a 5-year road plan, we vote on it, it works. Outside of emergencies, our job's going to be so much easier because we're not going to be rehashing every year the same old thing. You know what I'm trying to say? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say, but I think our fighting is going to go away because I don't know of anybody on the board that has any different direction which way we're going to go. Well, we're already doing it, but we're going about it in a way that it creates, you know, we need to put things in writing. We need to do it right. We can't have anything that's a surprise. And what I perceive as a surprise, Shauna might not. So then okay, Shauna's against me now. You know, because I think it's a surprise she doesn't. The board men, and they vote, everybody votes, and what happens? There's two sides now. We can't have two sides on this board.
To clearly identify what the goals are, so
yeah,
we're all moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
The foolishness that thinks, well, somebody's going left and somebody else going right. We need to identify that we're all going in the
same direction.
Direction,
exactly. And if we do this before the meetings, I love the way these emails have been going back and forth. In fact, I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see more from the ranch manager addressing the whole board. You know, why not? You know, I'm not talking about what you're doing, but ideas, your take on what we're doing with the cabins this year. You know, your take on what we need to do to the roads, or what you think we need to do to the roads. That's the only way we can function as a board, knowing what the members tell us. You know, I don't know what all 300 lot owners want, or the majority wants, unless we hear it. And that's one of the things that we need to do, is to have the communications out there. And it helped me a lot. Because when I first got on the board, Joe will tell you, he was the biggest help to me. Because he said, Art, you can't do that. I was being, he showed me my mistakes in the email. And I'm saying, you know, we can all learn. And I think if we all learn from our mistakes in the past, we're not going to have any more fighting as a board. And enough of it, let's move on, because I got to go. I got to get a plane at 7 o'clock tonight, so I am going home.
I've got to leave before that.
No, I got to...
Funeral at noon.
Two other things, Art, along that line. We've suggested and talked about neighborhood budgets and cost sharing. I think that the members, if it's organized properly, could say, hey, we'll all chip in, we'll expand the budget. If DSROA puts in X number of dollars, the neighborhood could say, we'll match it, and that way expand our budgets and get the things done. So I still would like to see some organization with neighborhoods setting some goals and cost sharing to help expand our budget.
We did exactly that back 9 years ago.
Yep.
Whatever happens, and I don't know, one of the things come up like, well, the next board that comes in, and us as a board here right now, we've got a unique opportunity. We've got to make sure that the long-term things are put into effect and don't get dropped by the next board. Like, Joe, if you come up with a 5-year plan for the roads, We'll never run into a problem again when we're fixing one road and there's a contention because we're not doing another road. Because we'll have a plan on what's going on. But if we can make sure that everything that we do as a board, not everything, of course, it's, a lot of it's year to year to start with, but if we have these long-term projects going, we need to, it was brought up by, I think, Brent, which was a great point. The next board doesn't have to go along with anything that was done by us unless we make sure of it. This board can make sure that what we get accomplished on that main goal goes on to the next board. And that's what happened back when Dale was with us 10 years ago. We had the plans out there. They were done. And then all of a sudden, you know, the next board come in and they got their own direction. We gotta come up with a direction that the ranch wants us to go, the members. And we need to make sure it follows through. Because no sense you spending 6 months coming up with a 5-year plan for the roads. And I think the roads might need a 10-year plan because of the cost of it. You know, or even longer. You know, you'd have to think about it. But why you put 6 months worth of work into it and then next September, you got nobody behind you and it changes.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
Phil Hall did a 5-year.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think I thought it as far as the plan. Now, whether we're talking about roads or water or cab bins, if we establish, I think we can establish some committees, and we already have one committee, but we desperately need more committees and more members involved to work out the details of the plan for whatever project that we're looking at. And then that committee also sits together and determines as close as we can what our cost would be for that project to accomplish it and to complete it. And then take it to the neighborhood participation idea scale. And you know, once we have some numbers and the idea in place and say, hey, here's our plan, here's our 5-year or 10-year plan, here's what we think it will cost. And then by that time when we know the cost, the board can kind of figure out what our portion would be and then how much we would need from the membership and then propose it to the neighborhood and the membership at that time. But if you try to do neighborhood participation before that time, before having information, it's not going to go anywhere because nobody wants to be involved in something that has no determination of what numbers are in play. So I think that would be a great idea to work that way.
I think you're pretty close on that. And I think you're actually thinking exactly the way most of us are. The participation, I wasn't even considering that. I was just basically looking at our common, you know, the roads that we normally work on and the main roads. So, yeah, I think that's once we get a plan down for the who's going to be in charge of, let's say, up where Ken Lynn is, who's going to be in charge over in Podunk. I think once we get that, we could move forward on a good 10-year plan or a 5-year plan, whatever it is. But it's a good idea.
Or maybe even not like who's in charge of Podunk or who's in charge of Meadow Canyon or Black Hollow. Maybe the committees that are in charge of the projects themselves.
Yeah, that'd be fine. We have to work the details.
Something like that.
May I please ask Linda if you will get us a list of the people that are in those areas because we have representation from each area. If you will get us a list of members and a way to contact them and the lot numbers so that
we can
talk
identify
to them about neighborhoods. If you're going to do something, then
well,
do action.
Why don't we work on a plan first?
Well, they just need to know who
to talk to.
Well,
people in the neighborhood have ideas themselves, so
yeah,
maybe they want to get together and say, this is what we'd like to do.
I think you have to include
We can do that through a newsletter.
Yeah. We need to get the input from each area before we make any decisions. We have to have their input. Financially, we can't make any decisions until we get their input first. So I think both of you are right.
Both of you.
Okay.
You guys do realize something. And that is Dale was making a point, and then everything went off in a different direction. And one of the things that's annoying about these meetings is that all of a sudden we're talking about one thing. We're talking about water development.
Dale says that more people would come to their lots if they had water available. And then all of a sudden we went off on a tangent, started talking about roads and everything else. I'd like to hear Dale finish his point. And I think when we start talking about one thing, we had a complete talking about it, and then talk about something else, rather than getting this convoluted, going around and around and around. So, Dale, could you finish your thought?
Let me just give you a little one thing that I know why we got off it, and I think everybody will agree that the fact that we have to have the plan. You know, that's how it got off. It was because of the five-year plan. We need to do it with everything. And I think it is a topic that encompasses the roads, the water, the cabins, and everything else. But we talked at length on it. And I think that's how it got off. With the five-year plan is where we stepped on it.
When we come into these meetings, when Dale starts a subject, or anybody, he starts talking about something, let's let him get it.
Well, for your benefit too, for everybody out there, all of a sudden we
fruition.
Well, you know, we forget about the people sitting in the audience here, and then we're going off
deep end. Dale, could you finish your thought?
Yeah, go ahead, Dale.
Did I have a thought? Well, I just think that as we've watched people the last two or three years, they are interested and they're helpless without water, and so then we look at different things and say, how can it be done? I think the Leaf Spring, and I may be criticized for fencing it, but it's been fenced and refenced half a dozen times during the last 40 years. It now has a fence that's finalized, and the cattle cannot get into it. We now can clean up that spring and put it in a pipeline, and it can furnish reliable water to 20 lots. And I think it can be done very economically, not in terms of $900,000. Same thing is true. I think the Half Moon Well, we use that for irrigation. It has an electric pump in it. Somebody needs to take, and that's my plan that I would do it, and follow through on a solar system. So that well is beneficial. It may serve some lots. It may serve some livestock. It may be used for agriculture again. And to move in that direction without a lot of suspicion or negative input as to whoever may be against it. They're not against it. They're against not knowing where we're going with it. I don't know where we're going with it, but we will have some suggestion on the Half Moon Well, on Slide Canyon, on the different springs. And I purposely did not bring any specifics because I didn't want to take time fighting about it.
Well, no, we don't have to fight about it. That's why we have 7 board members.
Yeah.
Just we make a decision, we do it.
Do you know the depth of that well happened?
I've got a file folder that I think has it.
Well, because I think we could do that really cheap.
That's right.
I like what we did out in, by the window.
Yeah.
That's good.
So I think that there, I don't know if all of you, I've printed it out. There's probably 20 wells on the ranch, and there's all these water rights. And a lot of potential.
We should use them.
I had always thought of doing the Broad Hollow neighborhood of Brent and the others all out of Leaf Spring. Half Moon Well is closer and cheaper to do part of those lots out of it. And that had never occurred to me until just here a couple months ago. So I think we need to look at the different things, find out where water can come from, how it can be used.
Is there enough volume or anything in Bear Spring to serve some of those lots to the east?
Yeah, Forest Service won't let us touch that still. It should be.
Lynette?
And Dale, you're the authority, but how can we go ahead and
and make sure that the systems can be put in place to not have to eventually do it as a public water system. That is, I think, going to be critical. If we have 20 different water systems and we keep them, you tell me, you showed me a map. I was wrong at the board meeting. I thought it was the 16th hookup, and actually it's the 14th hookup. Is that right, Dale?
14, I don't remember. 14, 15.
Well, the paper that Dale showed me said that after the 14th hookup, that I think the next one is the one that makes it a public water system where you have to do extensive testing and turn it into the state. And so those kind of things, if we knew where those 20 potential water sources were, maybe we could go ahead, organize it so that they could supply however many. But I think you have to start at least one test after four hookups. I don't know exactly.
I think the big thing you said is we've got to start.
So do you think it's realistic for you to come up with a five-year plan in a couple months, maybe 6 months, that we can actually start contacting members and, you know, start making this thing move forward? Because I see it as the greatest asset. You got water in your lot. First of all, a $30,000 lot's now worth $60,000. So if any member would not take it, it would be a surprise to me.
However, there are those that said, I'm not going to use it for a year or two, and I'm not going to pay a dime on it until I do. We're shocked with the questionnaires that have gone out on two or three of those spring areas and been very discouraged that. So I do have a different plan that I think will overcome those.
Somewhere, if I could start on this, it's a start. We got to start from somewhere. Everybody agrees. Looking at cost of putting a solar pump in that Half Moon well.
I already did it.
He's already done.
I did it last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the request of them.
But to get something set up there with a fence and everything, and see what we can do out of it. That's a start.
I would like Dale to, if that's where you want to start, Dale, with the five-year plan, next board meeting, we can, wherever you think that the priorities are, then we'll discuss it, and if we agree, then we can go start. We got to start somewhere.
Well, if I can get the go-ahead from the board, I could get that system going.
Well,
is there a system there?
Brent has already done the research.
I would suggest we not
research. It all depends what we want to use it for. If we want to just start pumping it, like we've got on the old windmill site out there on the BLM.
Pump it to the cows for now.
We're about $2,500 for the panel, wire, pump, controller, all that stuff. And we could be getting. I mean, that's a 30-gallon a minute well. That's what you told me they used to pump. And we could be getting a solid 2 gallons a minute out of it all day long, every day, pumping into tanks, troughs, whatever, for $2,500.
It's on your back.
I mean, everybody can start, but I would like to see the project not for cows, not necessarily for people, but a total evaluation of that water source, and if it needs to be special other things done so that it can qualify for culinary water. The cows aren't going to pay us a whole lot for whatever we give them, but that could be, that's a secondary thing, is for a livestock water tank. So I think it needs to be, who's going to pay for it, what's it going to be, and how's it going to be used in connection with people? And I think that,
Greg, Hart, I've got a.
Finally,
I've got plans.
You got cut off three times now. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just got an email from Vance, and Phil Hall had a five-year plan for road development, water compliance, and development by year, proposed cabin maintenance, Deer Springs Ranch operations and master plan, and a 5-year plan for cabin maintenance.
And again, all of this,
and
is
it's all on our email, so we can all take a look at it.
Well, we have already gone through this, I don't know, 3 times now. Brent will tell you that John Pardo and I hammered out a 5-year plan, and we started it. We started it over at Podunk because it had never had anything done over there. And as soon as the board changed, gone. I would actually rather have Joe come up with a plan. A fresh plan, because things have changed, priorities have changed, than was, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And just, we go with it, and we just make sure it gets carried on.
I have a question about that. So, if you all put a 5-year plan in place, this is what we're going to do. It's kind of, I mean, a lot of it will be our job to make it happen, right? And really, if we just continue doing our job, it will continue to happen regardless of the board, unless you have people that come in and say, I'm going to wipe this all out. But they shouldn't do that if the managers are doing it, right?
Yeah, if you have the same managers.
Yeah.
Dale will tell you firsthand, for the last, it doesn't go that way.
But if the managers are in place still, it shouldn't flip.
It still doesn't go that way. The board's just, and we have to make sure that when we implement a plan, and Brent brought it up, does the previous board decisions have to go forward? Yes. No.
By law, they do.
You're here for 2 years.
What?
By state law, they do.
By state law, they do.
That every decision the board makes?
Well, right.
Not according to what we... Who was it that brought that up?
No, it was Jody.
It's what?
Jody.
Yeah.
You know, because they had one board gave her permission for to run the water line across association acreage.
And then the next
board took it away.
Okay, well, we need to iron that out. We'll give that to Dave.
You know.
Make sure that doesn't happen again.
But it's not just that. It's just... It happens all the time. And so, you know, I mean, unless you have a compelling reason to change it, I think a decision that a sitting board makes that's been elected by the membership, it should follow through. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it should be henceforth and forevermore.
No,
it has a compelling reason to change it.
But we should finish out a plan that we start if it's working.
Exactly.
Instead of just dropping and starting our own plan because another board comes in. Yeah. And that's what's happened at least 3 times I know. Phil did it, I did it, Dale's done it several times. It just, nobody listens. So if we put something in our bylaws that the 5-year plans need to be carried through or followed through, barring, you know, catastrophe, or, and there's always got to be provisos, because you don't want to lock yourself in. You know, we might change our minds in 3 years about the road plan, you know, and have to re-vote on it. But the basic, you know, the basic expenditures that we're going to be doing in the 5 years need to be followed through with.
If you've ever been involved in master planning, the one thing you learn is that it's a fluid document.
Yeah.
It's not set in stone. But the basic premise carries forward.
Yeah, exactly.
It changes as things change, but the basic premise continues on. Water development, and Dale's point is well taken. If we've got a 30-gallon minute well that's just been sitting there for the last 11, going on 12 years that I've been here, that's a resource that's being wasted, in my mind. If we went to the members of everybody in Broad Hollow and said, all right, we're going to get started on the project here. It's $1,000 for each lot to get started on this thing. You know, pump, you know, tanks, well, we're going to start with water lines, going this way.
That'll be 30
that
more years.
That might be a way to start doing things. And then you do the same, or you can do half of, you could do half of Broad Hollow with the Half Moon, half of Broad Hollow with Leaf Spring. You know, I mean, we're wasting, we've got a lot of resources that we're not utilizing.
I agree. And
ultimately, it'll make sense to use it. But we need a plan to start with, and then we need to follow through.
Could the Half Moon well supply water to the 40,000 gallon tank?
No.
Goodbye.
Why shouldn't we?
Why shouldn't we?
Because it's too far. You have other water.
Well, the well field and the pipes and everything's already there.
We could. You're saying why shouldn't we pump it?
Yeah, pump it up to the 40,000 gallon tank.
Or pump it over to the, exactly, we'd have to get involved with the state on that.
Well, no, let's ask the question. If there's a well and a pipeline already filling that 40,000 gallon tank.
That takes diesel fuel to do it.
Okay, you're saying maybe go to solar?
Yeah. Well, if he's going to put solar on Half Moon, if we can fill it partially with solar, we'd use less diesel to pump up there, less expense.
Good point. That's
a good point.
I mean, gasoline and diesel fuel do cost money. From what last I heard, we don't get taxed for the sun rays.
Yeah, but there is maintenance.
Well, there's maintenance on anything. There's maintenance on a diesel engine, too.
Why would we put a solar pump? Because we can run the one.
Because it's downhill to a certain extent.
Yep, I like that.
Yeah.
But
you'd have to get the state approved if you're pumping it into that water
system. Well, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't mix
and
it.
And I don't know whether we had to change the one well anyway because
right.
I know.
But if that diesel motor goes down, then you're done.
But why wouldn't you put a solar pump there also? Because we can, yeah. The upper system, we can pump it either by generator or by solar.
But it's a higher lift. It'd be more expensive equipment. Yeah. And half moon well is gravity fed to a certain point. And from that point, it's a small rise compared to where we're lifting it now. We're lifting it with a 200 horsepower motor and a fuel tank that guzzles up fuel like it's hungry.
Gravity is a beautiful thing.
190 pounds of head pressure.
Yeah.
Could somebody overflow and divert it into the Half Moon? Mm-hmm. In other words, if it's pumping and we fill a 40,000 gallon tank, can it go into the reservoir?
I mean, if it's 30 gallons a minute.
Put it in a reservoir and maybe someday we're going to have trout in it.
You know what? We've got enough irrigation pipe right sitting right underneath that windmill that we could run that irrigation pipe right over to Half Moon Reservoir right now. I'm pumping. We got a pipe sitting there.
That'd be neat. That's more
and
efficient.
So we're wasting, that water's just running underground. Not being put to beneficial use.
Jody, you have anything?
Well, I lost part of the conversation there, but I heard part of the Half Moon Reservoir information. I wouldn't be so fast to disregard Phil Hall's information. I haven't read it yet. I don't know what's in there on these plans. But I think, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's go look and see what he said. Let's look and see what they came up with then so we can kind of draw a new plan from that and also be a good time to start like a road committee plan. We already have a water committee, but we have no road committee plan, a road committee itself and fire committee. We probably need to put together some committees for this to help us with the process. On the water project, I know the costs are so high, we might want to spread that into a 5 to 10 year plan or somewhere in the middle, because I know the expenses related with that are very high. That's my input.
Great. Great input.
Candace Bose, I agree with looking at what Phil Hall had suggested those years ago, because you can add to, you can be that fluid, but I think the bottom line here is, what are you going to do as the board this year for communication? I like the ideas that are starting to flow, but if you don't get, like Jody has said, committees and people involved, get that newsletter, and forgive me for saying this, but I don't like all the little fluff in it. I want something in there that is going to say what we can do. Now, this is what the board has said at their last meeting or the last two meetings. This is the direction we're taking. If you want to do a 5-year plan, you want to do a 10-year plan, that's great. Let the masses know. That's what the membership wants to know. Not going over the surface and not saying anything. The top 10 list. What has been accomplished on that top 10 list? What have you taken off? What more do we have to do? What can you add to it? You have got to communicate with the people in a structured manner in which they want to become involved. If you don't do that, well, not this year, not next year, not the next year. Oh, we'll get it done. We're talking. As you said, you want this to be a working board, not just a talking board. And to get things started, go look to see what Phil has suggested. And I think it's a starting, jumping off point.
And I think something can be effective. And I believe that Nancy is correct. And what's your name, Paul? In the fact that if we have something in plan and we've got a vision, then those things are things that they're carrying through.
They need to have the vision as well.
They do. But I'm saying kind of work in that direction. They'll keep it up regardless of what the board is doing. And in that communication level, this is your first official board meeting as a new board for 2013-2014. I think that a new board coming on, bringing new people in, I think those people coming in should be aware, this is what we've done, this is the way we want to go. It's not just my ideas and your ideas. I think it's like, this is what the board's planning. Are you going to be going along with these ideas? If not, then maybe you should consider not being on the board. I mean, it sounds harsh, but if this is what we're doing, this is what we want to perpetrate.
And maybe so, if there's a plan in place, that people will be excited and want to serve.
Exactly.
And so, want to be a part of it.
So communication is the utmost importance. That newsletter should not just be fluff. It should be words of, yes, encouragement, and I believe that. But it should be factual and different ideas. And let's get these five-year plans out. I would be willing to bet you that three-quarters of the people don't even know that there is something out there that Phil had done or that you're going to do. So I think that should be one of your priorities.
Well, we should at least use his plan.
Yeah, use his plan. We can have
it. It may cut it down from 6 months to 3 months to get one good one down.
Trim anything we want.
Yeah.
So communication is key.
I agree. The newsletter started and has been somewhat fluff because we're just trying to get it going and make it happen. That's that. I feel like there should be a committee of members, not board members, committee of lot owners for each one of these headings in here.
For input.
One in water resource, one in public safety, one in communications, and then the board members over top of that committee gets their input and brings it to the board meeting. I think there should be, that would be lot member.
And that's your neighborhood plan.
Exactly.
That sounds good.
Exactly. And you'd have their input, they would be involved. Then they bring the board members have to make an effort to contact them, get information from them, and then bring it to
I don't want to rehash it, but that's exactly what we had in place 10 years ago.
That's
exactly.
Well, and I know
and
that.
And it doesn't go on because it's
I
the
know
board's
that.
Change.
I know that.
Somehow we're going to have to figure that out. That's probably going to be our hardest job to make sure that what we get follow the next board doesn't change it.
And then after every board meeting.
As long as it's what the members want.
Yes. I think they want to know what's going on. After the board meeting, then the information goes into the newsletter, goes out to the membership back again. Plus, they can get on the website and listen to the meeting or see the minutes from the meeting, and then there would be more input. We have more involvement, and that's what we need.
All right, that was my soapbox.
Okay.
Your soapbox, sorry.
Next. I think it's, let's see, where were we?
Done yours.
Legal.
Donna, water, me, I already did mine. Anything you want me to add to it, I will. The communications, only one other thought I have, and we've run it a couple of times, where a member had an emergency and couldn't get any communications out. I talked to Paul and Nancy about the possibility of having some sort of communication when they're not there. They're not expected to stay at the ranch house 24/7. They go to church on Sunday, they, you know, whatever, they take a personal day off and leave or
we
whatever.
Stop the upper cabin.
Yeah, yeah, stop the upper cabin.
We're working.
So, God forbid somebody has a heart attack like Art over on lot 151 and I need a communication. And there's no way I run down to, if somebody runs down to the ranch house,
nobody
there.
Somebody did call me and I came though.
Yeah, you did. You did. But you were there. That's the point. But anyway, there should be some means, even if it was like we talked about, a phone, one of these newfangled phones that you can put Skype on.
I think the radio's a good idea.
Well, the radio is good. I've been on the radio where, you know, in the middle of winter down here, Lee's not here, they go into town, there's nobody on it.
But Lee answers, yeah, well, hey, if nobody's here, nobody's here.
Yeah. You know, well, my point is it would be a very, almost like a non-expenditure to put in something that somebody could make a phone call out on Wi-Fi. You know, that's one. That's the only other thing I had besides the.
See, we just took that cruise ship, and they give you a telephone in your room, and if you lose it, it's $250. It only costs $10 to buy it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need something like that to have extra radios and say, you signed for it.
I gave the ranch a couple of radios so they can.
You signed for it. If you lose it, we're going to charge you $100, period. Because we have to go through the trouble of getting
it. I like $250 because it's a pain in the butt.
It's a pain in the butt to get something reordered.
But what he's saying is, like, take an iPhone.
No, I think he's talking about the radio.
The radio that we're using with a repeater on.
I was talking about having something like a, that they can get on the Wi-Fi right there at the ranch house.
Well, that's true, too.
And, you know, just pay, make a call. At least you could call somebody you knew.
But even, like, if you were to call me on the radio, I have an AT&T phone that will take an emergency call. It'll say no signal, but it will call 911.
Yeah. Most will.
They all, yeah, I think most of them
they will. So.
Yes, and we just, that's the only thing I had to add, is some way we need to...
we just need a backup system.
A backup system in case somebody has a heart attack or, God forbid, an accident out on the road. How many accidents have you been involved in? You know, not personally,
right.
But, you know, we've had people out there.
There's more and more people out there.
Lynette?
The little walkie-talkies or whatever they are that we have, I got two of them that I paid for, and then somebody needed one of mine. And then when that was replaced, it isn't set up. So that means my two radios can't even communicate. And I'm wondering who I go to get that other one set up.
Most anybody that's out there, can you do it, Joe? Set their radio?
Bob Becker's going to be in town. He can program.
Lee Beller's always been the one to program mine. I didn't even mess with it.
I paid somebody in Vegas to do mine.
But Bob Becker will be.
I'll get a hold of
Bob Becker, yeah. Well, that's how we learned from him.
He knows exactly how.
Are we going to go another 2 or 3 hours?
We got meetings.
No, we've got to move on. I've got a plane to catch. So.
I'm 30 minutes.
12:30?
Yeah, 12 o'clock.
So okay, let's move on a little quicker. Okay, Dave?
Dave?
Are you having somebody else?
We're going on to Dave?
He's on.
Okay. Liability release statement, is that something we have an attorney write up? Is this question?
We have one, I think.
A liability.
Attorney's wrote up.
Okay.
I don't think I would pay a lawyer to do
Dale
it.
Dale's saying that
we have
a few of them that are already written up. We just need to renew them, I guess.
So then, input from Jody.
Go ahead, Jody.
I couldn't hear at all what Dave said, so you might have to just, like, relay that to me. But Lynn and I were talking a bit ago after the last meeting about people that, you know, come into cabins and don't know how to use the propane lamps, the heaters. Even I came up there, I didn't know how to use a wood stove. We don't use them in Arizona down here. But something that worked at the liability release that people from outside the ranch should sign and we should keep on file while they're here and actually afterwards. And that's why this was brought up. In case something were to happen to them, remember when we want to prevent something happening to them, and that's the reason for Part B, and then if something were to happen to them, the liability release would take over. It wouldn't prevent any lawsuit to be brought forth against us, but it would sure help us during that instance if it were to happen. And so if we have those release forms, we need to get them signed by the non-members and keep them on file and with our paperwork.
Okay. In an interest of time, as we kind of keep this going, that's something that we can kind of write up and we'll present it to the board via email. Just a small little card saying, hey, this is, don't touch the refrigerator, ask for help, this is how you light the mantles.
Or maybe we go in and say, if it's a non-member that hasn't been here before, I go in with them when they check in and say, this is how you light the light, this is how you start the fire.
So that's,
please sign this paper saying that you've been shown how.
Pretty basic.
It should not be just to non-members.
Right.
New members are just as...
Well, or new members.
Right. But we need to have a written...
Okay.
I met people that hadn't...
All right, Dave.
That's, do we really need it? I know Jody just said we did, but is it going to do us? I mean, is it really binding? Is it, again, I
He says, is it really binding?
It is necessary.
I think people just need to know, right?
Could something like that also, besides, say they are members, they've been here for a while, could you include that in the reservations, a section in there so that people can see it if they don't, perchance, get to see you?
Oh, like
or it's been a while.
Signature. Electronic signature.
You could do that. Well, they could sign with you, but I'm just saying, have that information as they make their reservations. Have that as part of their paperwork. Not just that they have...
And that would relieve a lot of work. I mean, you know
what I mean?
It's there.
Right. Have that part of the official paperwork to say, I have a reservation at this date, at this particular time, and if I don't know how to turn that propane lamp on, well, it says it here how I can, but if I can't, then maybe I will go see this.
Yeah,
if
people don't, though.
Well,
we've had people come in
and
call and talk to them and said, you know, do you know how to, you know, if you have any issues, come talk to us. Do you know how to like, oh, yeah, we know how to do everything. And the next day they came down wrapped in blankets because their place smelled like propane. And we're like, oh my gosh, Paul goes up there. They had gone around and turned on the lights.
They knocked them on.
They thought they automatically lit.
They thought they automatically lit. And they told us they knew what they were doing.
You can show them how to do this in the store. You don't have to do it in the cabin.
Yeah, we've done it in our own.
But I'm saying include it. And that's another way to make sure that you've covered yourselves and they know what to do.
Before checking in, you got to have a 5 minutes.
So this is an action item that we could be working on.
You can take care of that.
Let's
take care of that. Let's move on.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
I require
to ask something.
Just a minute. You need to ask the attorney.
Is it binding for a whole group of like 20, or the person that signed it is being liable for the 20 people?
If it's a group, it
would be something to ask a lawyer.
I think if one of the 10 people wants to sue,
yeah,
we have a right to.
One person.
Just one person. Kill the whole project.
We could spend another $40,000 on lawyers just listening to what it's coming up here.
Hey, Dave, just real quick.
One person would say I was in the bathroom.
There's people wanting to go to meetings at 12 o'clock, so we're trying to kind of go through this. This is something that I think we could work on, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the liability release statement would be a really simple document for the attorney to look at. I think that we should, if we don't have one from an attorney already, that's where we should get one from, and then have the responsible party of the party that comes in be the one that signs that release. I think that when they come to the ranch to get their keys, that liability release statement needs to be signed in, and then the paperwork on the documentation on how to work the equipment should be handed out at that time, too, so that they get it before when they make the reservation, and then they get an actual copy when they come in, because you know how people forget to bring things.
Okay.
E and F.
Working on written documentation. Okay, we've already talked about that, right? C, commercial washer and dryer. He wants me to take over this, I guess.
Yeah.
The washer and dryer, we've tested it. You know, it's working pretty good. You know, we've already talked about doing laundry, the linens at the ranch. On the slower weeks, it works good. On the busier weeks, there is a need for a new washer. The washer was donated. It's a good washer, but you have to kick it, and if you're not there in time and it shuts off and you can't be there to kick it, it doesn't work. So basically,
as long as I remember to hit it on the hood.
There's been talk about item D, the container. You know, we've talked about the laundry shed and the condition of the laundry shed. I've discussed at length with Dave about, you know, we have those trusses behind out in the field that are kind of going to rot. I suggested getting another container and arching the two with the trusses and roofing it, and having a workspace and then another container for storage. But talking with Dave, he said that, you know, we could still use the trusses and just put up some poles and have just like a pole barn.
On
the
cover.
Uh-huh. So part of the trusses would be on the existing container.
Well, we also could set it up where we could, at some point in time when we can afford it,
right,
slide a container in there.
Right. So that's the issue with the laundry. I think what we're going to do is move the laundry facility behind the house in the container with the washer and dryer, and then turn the cow palace into a bunkhouse for workers or whatever that comes up there. It's kind of, you know, and I think what we're going to do is put a bin outside. The cabins are already going to be stocked, but you know, people know that if they go into the laundry shed, because Nancy has it so organized, go in there, grab some, you know exactly where the towels are. The queen set sheets are right there in the bag. It says it right there. But having a bin outside, you know, for people, you know, if they've extended their stay, that, you know, they can come grab a couple more towels, and so they're not going behind the house back in that area to grab more laundry. You know, just because of the budget, we can't afford another container. So I think
they
that's
be
a...
kept in the store?
What's that?
Kept in the store.
Yeah, on a shelf in the store, maybe.
Well, yeah, wherever.
A shelf, I mean, in the store.
Basically, they're not going to be going to the laundry shed or the cow house to get laundry anymore.
They don't know, but I don't know that anyone's ever really come to get laundry. Usually they come for an extra roll of toilet paper,
right,
or paper towel.
But just so there's something out front there that everybody knows that's where they can go pick it up instead of...
That's smart.
The cow palace, like I said, you know, the water being shed away from it. I'd like to do something more permanent, but, you know, funds kind of limit us. But turning that into, like I said, a bunkhouse, I think, still use it as a facility. And then meters on the gas and water. There was talk about it in our workshop. And I personally think we should take one of the well-used cabins, say cabin 8, and put a meter on the propane and put a meter on the water and just see, just take this next year and see what a cabin really uses. So we can kind of crunch some numbers this time next year and say, hey, this is what the cabins are using. High times, low times. Go ahead.
A quick suggestion maybe on that. Dave, Fredoni just changed out a bunch of meters. Maybe they would have one that they would sell you, give you something. We could find a meter that you could use.
I think for, I don't know, Brent crunched some numbers. I think he came up with about $250 for
yeah, they're anywhere between two, for a decent gas meter and a decent water meter, simple. It'd be about $200 to $250 per cabin.
Well, let's get them free if we can.
No problem if we can get them for free.
Gas meter, I think AmeriGas should be able to put something on there. We pay them plenty for them to.
Yeah, to at least the test one.
Right. So I think we should do that this next year, so we can.
You
have
think
some
cabin 8 or I would think one of
don't
the higher.
Don't have meters on them because they read them all the time.
I would think one of the high impact cabins, like one or the garden cabin.
Well, I think cabin 8 is year open year round.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying for our numbers.
Group wise?
Yeah, if we get 24 people or 20 people in cabin 1 or the garden cabin, that's where we really need the numbers.
Right.
Yeah, but that's over in excess. What would a general, just a normal family of, say, 6 people? And if that's about what's normal that comes in,
right,
then that would be a normal cabin 8 that you could apply it to.
Good point.
Cabin 7 and 8 and 6.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Or quadruple it.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's about it for Dave's report.
So you're going to look into the meters?
Yeah.
Shauna, can you turn them on to the right person?
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Dave, did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Could you do me a favor and get, I'll get you some dimensions and we can get some cost on some roofing to finish cabin 4, the roof on cabin 4? I think you might have hit mute there.
He's actually looking at him. They're looking at each other.
Yeah, FaceTime. I can't.
Yeah. I can't hear you.
Okay, now you can hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, give me a second.
Okay. If we do cabin four, that's the last cabin with asphalt shingles. And so, I mean, that's a huge, you know, I got to applaud Dave and his crew for all the work that he's done on the cabins, putting a lifetime roof on most, on all the cabins. I mean, that's awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Joe, I mean, Candy.
My question for Dave and Nancy and Paul, what kind of plans for improvements during the wintertime of this year have we allotted in terms of the budget, and what are your plans to do?
We've actually just discussed that in the last couple of days. Okay. You know, we're talking about redoing the floor in cabin two. That I think we're going to wait till springtime to do that. Just everything's closed up there now.
There's no water.
If I start it now and it snows next week,
you're going to have to leave it.
Done.
Maybe you can shoot us out an email with the particulars of what you're going to do.
I want to go through cabin two and not just do the floor, but, you know, put a new kitchen sink in, and then maybe a new vanity in the bathroom. They're outdated. The floors are rotted out. But just kind of get in there, get it done, finish it. We have plans right now for cabin seven. I just put some new faucets in and new plumbing underneath. I just did this yesterday. But looking at it, cabin six has one of the...
What do you want to do more to seven?
I'd like to put a new vanity in the bathroom.
Who's calls right?
I'd like to do, well, cabin 6 and 10 have very inefficient old stoves. So we're actually looking at pricing some cheap, inexpensive.
You're talking about kitchen stoves?
Kitchen stoves. You can't cook in the oven in 6, and then 10 just blows propane most of the time. On that subject, we've talked about cabins not being used. Shutting them down, and when people come in to use them, turn it back up, you know.
They'll save a ton of propane.
But we do have plans for, you know, some of the lower cabins.
Because I know that was an issue for some of the other managers that had come on board. Well, what do I do during the wintertime? There's nothing. And then a lot wasn't accomplished. So I wanted to make sure it was part of the plan from the board that you're well aware of. And you're putting a plan into effect of what needs to be done. So we're ready for when the groups come in.
We just installed new doors on the garden cabinet.
Good.
Of course, the dead of winter is the on
Paul Rosen's
Nancy's behalf. The dead of winter is about the only time that they can take a break. I mean, 8 hours a week during the summer, and then wintertime, we got to be...
Just more hours than 80 in a month.
Hey, we have to be a little compassionate on what we dump on for the wintertime.
No. I understand that, but I know that in the past, that's why cabin 7 and 8 had new floorings in them, because that's when they were accomplished. And
I line things out, you know, from the time the snow flies till, you know, March.
I know you do.
The fence in front of the... in headquarters, that was all done in February and March.
And what about some of the fill dirt that was being needed to be put around cabin 8 and 1?
That's a huge project.
Why don't we do this? Dale's going to have to leave, and I'm going to have to leave soon. I don't have to leave at 12, but why don't you get out an email to us all and start a conversation on it? And I love some of the ideas that are coming up. But we're not going to be able to do it today.
No.
Right. I mean, just if we could stay till 7 o'clock tonight and still not get it done.
Unless Dave has anything else, I think that finishes up Dave's report. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Jody, you're up.
All righty then. And because the sound is so bad, Art, I can hear you the best. So if there's any correspondence or communication from the board or members in the party there, if you can relay that back to me so I can hear it. The first thing on the finance section is the bill submitted for the fencing part. Dale, on there's $1,000 for reimbursed for housing. Can you explain what that is? Because I'm a little bit confused about that. From what I know, that they stayed, the Jessup crew stayed at one of the cabins, so why would you be reimbursing them?
Well, on Dale's behalf, he's not here right now. So can you skip to the next one? We'll come back.
Okay. And can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, good. Alright, and then the next thing down, because we had the issues this year, we had, you know, we didn't get to spend some money on some projects that needed to be done, and then we overspent on other projects that perhaps didn't need to be done. But to stop this in the future, I want to make a motion that from this day forward, Sean, I'll repeat this, you'll have to write too fast. I'm making a motion that from this day forward, every project or item in our budget that is overspent by more than 10% of our budgeted amount for the year will not be paid, nor be the responsibility of the association to be paid if pre-approval of any overages has not been granted by the board. Person or persons in charge of that project would do go over the predetermined budget amount without additional approval will do so under their own personal financial risk.
Well, you're right. I can't write that fast, and I will have to.
And should I say it again?
No, you should text it to me. You should email it to me and then move from there, because I don't think that's relevant at this exact moment. If you do that, then we can put it in and bring it up next time.
Well, I think we've already, Jody, I think we've already, to some degree,
done that.
Agree that we have to start acting like a business and not, you know, just do things. And everybody's perception is different on what the situation is. So we need to start putting things in writing. And, you know, yes, what you said is right on the money. Because what it's going to do is eventually stop the contention if we do it.
Correct.
If we do this up and up and everything is, you know, one guy's nice and he's a good guy and he'll front some money, and then next thing you know, it turns into a fight. Whether his intention or her intention was correct at the time, it's still going to be a end up in a fight if it's not down in writing. You know, if we make a deal with one of the members, and I really don't think the board should be involved with anything personal as far as expenditures. You know, it's a great thing unless somebody wants to, you know, one of the board members want to donate or something like that. I don't think it's right that Dale or anybody else has to spend their own money to do ranch business. Now,
I would agree with you there. However, we've had the conversation for the last 3 years I've been on the board, and it's been made known, but it still continues to happen. So I think each board member in charge of their own departments or their own categories need to be liable or responsible for this, so that there are ramifications and that they know there are ramifications for doing so. So I think the motion is very important to bring to the table and have it written. We have talked about it before, and it has been in the minutes that we've all approved it. However, it still continues, so I think we need to get the motion in there to make it solid.
If
we know it's going over the predetermined budget amount that we set, there's no reason why we can't come to the board meeting and say, hey, this project we've budgeted $5,000 for, it looks like it's going to cost us $8,000 because of this. I want to make sure that that's approved and we can get that worked out before I go ahead and continue the project to completion. I think it's just imperative that we do this.
Okay, and I guess you need to repeat the whole motion.
Well, no, let's
will.
And
yeah,
a little
we'll
bit
do it
slower.
Later.
And,
not now.
Dale is here right now, so
but
he needs to hear it as well. So if you would repeat that slower, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, sure. From this day forward, every project or item in our budget that is overspent by more than 10% of our budget amount for that year will not be paid, nor be the responsibility of the association to be paid if pre-approval of any overages has not been granted by the board. Persons or person in charge of that project which do go over the predetermined budget amount without additional approval will do so under their own personal financial risk.
Any comments?
I don't know. It sounds like it's straightforward. We can't go more than 10%.
I second it.
So you for
it is straightforward, it's very reasonable. There shouldn't be any reason why we can't agree to that.
It's good business.
They all made a motion to accept it. Anybody second it?
I second it.
I second it.
Oh, nobody first it. So you're
well, she has the first
what's your name? Okay. You're not here. Jody, you're not here.
Period.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We all agree.
Okay, motion passed. Shauna, I'll email you the message for that so you don't have to worry about writing it up.
I got it halfway.
Okay. Okay, and that was D. Okay, and the number D and E and F all kind of run together. The monthly payment that was approved a couple months ago for the President Deer Street Grant. All I know it's going to take a lot of your time. It takes a lot of my time. It takes a lot of all of our time. I know there's expenses involved for coming up there to the ranch. Every time I come up there, it costs me $200 alone in gas. When I come up in the winter, it costs hotel bill on top of that. But after you guys have all reviewed the budget, I think you see that there's so little wiggle room for any extra. And that would be my first reason for not allowing that salary to go through, because there's just not enough money in the budget. Number two, the monies that are spent from our budget really need to be designated towards tangible goods and services. We really can't determine how many hours of work we're all going to do, and we all do so many hours of work. We can't all be paid. We all do so much. We all spend so much to get there. We just can't all be paid. Number three, there are members of this board and of the association that would be willing to serve on a volunteer basis, so I just don't think that if we have someone that would volunteer for that we should be paying someone else to do it. Number four, this is a biggie too that needs to be really looked at this year. We're required by our bylaws that within 45 days of the close of each calendar year, we're required to cause an independent financial report on our account by an accountant. We're also, at that point, deliver this report to each member within 15 days after completion. What I'm saying is here that we're supposed to have an audit every year at the end of the year. We have not done this since the year of 2007, as far as I know. Is that correct, Linda? Is that what you remember?
That is correct.
06?
No, that is correct.
Okay. Now, we're estimating, and I don't know where the estimate came from. We need to talk to the accountant about that, but we really need to do this, guys. And, yeah, maybe we missed a year here or two, but we've missed way too many years now. Approximate estimate from my story is about $5,000. So in lieu of president's salary, that $5,000, $6,000 should be spent on getting that done. And the last thing is that a statute has now been approved in the Community Association Act of Utah, which requires homeowners associations to have a reserve fund to accumulate money to cover the cost of repairing, replacing, or restoring common areas when the cost cannot be reasonably be funded from the association's general budget. A reserve analysis is to be conducted no less than every 6 years, with review of said analysis to be done no later than every 3 years. So in the past, we've worked our budget to kind of balance and come out even. A couple of years, when I first became treasurer, I wanted to leave some money in reserve, so that every year we would have a cushion in there to carry on to the next year. And we've seen that has helped us over the last 2 years, too, and we've had a cushion to go in. And by doing so, this will allow us to handle any catastrophes that come up. And I know the other thought on that was, well, we've got the money in the budget, things are so tight, we need to spend every penny that we have for other projects, which, that's a point, too. But now they're requiring us by the state to make sure we do have a reserve. So we need to work on that, and I'll work on that and try to figure that out. And I might need the help of some other people on the board and other members to help with that, determine that reserve fund line. And they also say it needs to be written into our budget every year. So anyway, that is my concerns about the $500 a month payment to the president. We're going to have to discussion on that now, and then after that go into the budget worksheet that I sent to you all and how to balance the budget before going into the next year. So do you want to do them in two conversations or together?
Well, we're
out of time.
I'll kick it off with the president's money because obviously that would affect me. First, I'd like to say to Jody and the rest of the board, I'm against $500 a month for the president. Flat against it. I think we need to table this because I have one of my pet peeves with the ranch is we never think about our employees. We never take the time to understand where they are. They make $30,000, $40,000 a year with no security, no nothing. I would like to keep that $500 a month out there in discussion for the next 30 days before our next meeting and come up with a plan for Paul and Nancy, the current ranch managers, for some sort of retirement fund with provisos, with time in and what percentage they would get and so forth and so on. And I would like to keep the president's money out there in case of approximately $200 a month, $200 a month, where if it's needed, if it's not, it goes into the retirement fund. But I do want that $6,000 out there. I'm in favor of keeping that out there. I know I talked to Linda, Candy, and Joe about right after your budget meeting the next day, and we don't have the money. That being said, that's really a mute thing right now. We can't really vote on it. We can't really talk about it. We're going to have to find ways, and I've talked to Paul and Nancy, find ways to secure that $6,000, that it's not a burden to the ranch or the members, and start thinking about our employees. They're some of the greatest companies in the world, and Joe, you know this. If you start taking care of your employees, you don't have to worry about their customer service level, because they're going to be out there working for you. And we have always neglected the ranch managers, starting back with the Becksteads, all the way through. And so I think it's time as a board that we move forward with whoever the ranch. I love it, Paul and Nancy doing a great job, but whoever they are, we need to, when we hire somebody for that kind of money, we need to give them something to look forward to after 20 years. We can't, you know, if they want to stay, and then they get their money. Or, you know, there's plans you can come up with. I suspect that you could probably be better at this than I on retirement plans and stuff like that. But if they leave and they don't put in the proper amount of time to collect their money at the end, then it goes right back into the board. And
I think we can discuss this on an executive meeting.
Me too.
Yeah, let's just table that.
Our time is up, table.
Okay, well, I think it's good that we all know, though. Yeah, I think we're far enough. We need to move. Jody, the time is going by, and we're going to try to push this meeting through in another half an hour.
Well, we've got, okay, first of all, I hate this being rushed because this is important. I understand that, but and my phone's ringing from the office. The issue of paying, I think, you know, we need to have a reserve account anyway. You're wanting to hold on to the $6,000 figure into the line of budget so it stays. We can do that as part of a reserve account. I think after talking with Paul quite a couple times this month before that, I think the security issue here would be more beneficial to them from hearing from him talking, that we do a 5-year, 3-year contract with them so he does feel secure in the job. And I think after such time that he's been with us 5 years, maybe approach a retirement fund at that time. But I think at this point in time, the security of having that job and knowing that they're going to be there for the next 3 to 5 years is more important to them than setting up a retirement fund for them at this time.
Well, I don't agree with that, Jody. I think the fact is that if they spend 5 years here, we're going to have different boards. We're going to have other people. You might be gone. I might be gone. And I think we need to start it right away. Not putting Paul and Nancy's name on it, per se. The 5-year contract with them is perfect because normally that's when you become vested in a retirement program. And so that the timing would be perfect as far as that goes. But I think as far as allotting the $6,000 or $4,000, whatever it is, a year that we vote on, or however we come up with this money. What I really believe that if we leave this to Paul and Nancy, they can come up with the $6,000 themselves with some decent plans and planning, and even as far as membership contributions. So I think we as a board need to do something for our employees. That's where I stand with it, and I think we need to move on.
Well, I think the most important thing we can do with them, for them, is to give them a contract then.
Yes, I do too. Either we do it or we don't.
And I think that's a separate issue.
Yeah, it is. It's a totally separate issue. And we can deal with that
in executive meeting.
Yeah, in an executive meeting where we can speak freely without hurting anybody's feelings. We can get our boxing gloves on and fight it out.
Oh, no, this is not really executive meeting material that we're dealing with here. This is stuff that needs to be discussed in the open board meeting.
Go ahead.
Except for, like, Paul and Nancy's retirement. If you're talking about that, then I agree with that. But again, the retirement and the $6,000 are two separate entities and should be handled that way.
Okay, so are you trying to make a motion to keep them for 5 years? Is that what that is?
Well, I'm thinking if we want to proceed that way, we maybe talk about that in executive session, and then determine if we want to go 3 or 5 and the stipulations of that. We could do that. We can do that also via email during the next month.
Well, I think that would be a great thing. We could do it at the next meeting, make a decision, and put that on the top of the agenda.
But I think I think you're right, Jody. In my estimation, doing something for the Braytons is one thing. Having a contract for them for a period of extended time is another thing. But I think what Jody's trying to say here is the $500 a month for the president, is that something that the group here, you as board members, should vote on, that we should have it or should not? Because that directly impacts E, which is your budget.
You just dropped it.
Well, the board already passed.
He dropped the money. He wants to put it into a reserve until we decide what to do with it.
But we don't have it for a reserve right now. I know.
Again, we got until the 1st of January. I guarantee you they can raise the money with the board approval. There's like a million ideas that Paul has. We all have ideas on how to pull up a few dollars here, a few dollars there. $6,000 isn't a lot of money. But, again, I think
We've had no one over the last month bring up any ideas about how to increase the income. So are you saying that Paul and Nancy are going to come up with an idea?
I think they can. They're smart.
Of how to raise $1,000 for the budget?
Maybe not all of $6,000, but maybe you can raise $100 and I can. A few other people can do a little thinking on what ways to make money or save money. Paul's already, he's going to be saving probably $1,000 on a propane, what he's taking on shutting off all the gas, and there's nobody in it, in the cabin.
Well, we still have those programs yet to do, but we don't have final numbers on that. So that's something that, you know, again, via email the next month, if everybody will participate, we can kind of number crunch that, and that's what we're supposed to do now with the final budget as well. So that needs to be considered. And moving on to the finalized budget, if you guys all have your 2014 budget worksheet available.
That's the one I handed you with blue.
So we were at a deficit of having a balanced budget to the tune of about $9,000. Yeah, $9,082. So with the $8,000 being spent on a truck out of the 2013 budget, we can add that amount back in. But we will also need to add another budget item for replacement, repair of the new vehicle for over the year. So I'm putting in $1,000 for that. So right now, we are about $2,000 short of making the budget. But again, that was with taking out the $6,000. We still have to consider the reserve that we've got to meet. And we also haven't brought up to the table any compensation or payback for Phil Hall for his road work. So those are the two things that need to be talked about this month via email. And then looks like we're close enough on the budget balancing that we're very close to having a balanced budget. So between the reserve, Phil Hall, and the president's salary, are the three issues that we need to work on before the next month's meeting, because that will be, we may have to go into the new year with a balanced budget. Now, let me see if there's any other comments on that, and make it with my list. That was it.
I was going to make one comment. I was the one that, when I was put in prison, dropped from 500 to 200. That 200 was spent for stamps and envelopes and stuff to send out the things, so it was still used in the, as for company things. Also, the last year I was in there, we didn't have money in the budget for the fish, and so that was also used in $1,000 for the fish. And that was the reason it was dropped, because our budgets were supplastically tight trying to get the things that we needed for the ranch. So that was effectively put right back into the, all of it was put right back into the budget.
Yeah.
And also, any of the income that was brought, I always pay tax on even the money I find. When I worked in the casinos and stuff, I'd find $300 or $400 because my plants were around the machine, slot machines. I just add that to my income tax. I don't want to ever look over my shoulder to see if someone's coming after me for this or that or the other. And
well, I think that we're all on the same page. I mean, we don't have the money. We got to figure out how to get it. But I don't want to drop that $6,000, Jody. I don't know how you could pull that off, but if it's possible, we got till January. We need to do some serious work on where to get the money. But I do believe that we need to implement the five. If we do a five-year contract with Paul and Nancy, we also should start right away putting some money away. It's the only way we got to start somewhere, even if it's.
Well, we do. We have so many things that we need to put in this budget that aren't in there. I don't even see the potential of leaving that in there, because if number one, it needs to be part of the reserve. But anyway, and we have until next meeting probably to resolve that, because after that it will be Christmas time and we'll all be too busy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's try to discuss this over. I love the way we have been going back and forth with the emails, because it's gonna. As we do it, as we get more and more into these five-year plans and the trying to come up with more money, and we're going to need to be talking almost daily through email. And what it's going to do, it's going to stop the 8-hour board meetings, and it's going to bring it back down to a normal 2 or 3 or 4, and we could spend more time enjoying ourselves and less time stressing. So I think the emails are going to be the key for helping us all. It's a lot easier to talk to people over an email than it is sometimes, especially when it's contention. But anyway, good job on that. We'll let's do some talking in the next day or two.
Go back to A.
Yeah. Dale wasn't here.
Yeah. We got to go back
to A, Dale. I mean, Jody.
Yes.
That's what I was saying. Jody, I want you to reiterate A, because Dale wasn't here. Reiterate A on your list, because Dale wasn't here.
Oh, okay. Well, I was asking Dale on the invoice submitted for fencing, there was $1,000 that was charged for being reimbursed for housing for the Jessups. As my understanding, the Jessups were staying in a cabin during that time, so why would we be reimbursing them for housing? I don't understand that. I'm confused.
I don't think we were reimbursing them for anything. I rented
Mark,
them.
Can you relay that? I can't hear him. I'm sorry.
Just hang on 1 second.
Two items. You're not being billed for part of the fencing work that would even be in, that would even include that $1,000. DSROA has no time in cabins. The cabin time is all owned by the members. And if I rent some cabin time out to the Jones family for use of my cabin time, I don't necessarily need to share that income with DSROA. Same thing is true. I made arrangements with the Jessups on their fencing materials, fencing schedule, and it was my time in the cabins that was used for their accommodations. Two or three people asked, well, am I keeping track of when they spend time on my project or the DSROA project on Wednesday or Thursday? And I decided I would cover their housing. DSROA doesn't need to cover any of it. And it was put on the budget that I submitted on the fencing materials.
On those fencing projects, we didn't charge you a reservation fee because they were working on the ranch.
So are you saying you need a reservation fee now for them?
I don't know how you guys, all of you, are going to work this out. I'm just making that comment that I didn't charge you a reservation fee.
That's
on
right.
Most we did. So
if they're doing work for the ranch, they shouldn't be, that would be ranch time for the cabins. That shouldn't involve your ranch time, your cabin time at all.
And therefore it wasn't applied to any of your lots either. So.
I'm not quite hearing you guys completely, so if Art, you want to relay what Dave said, I can't really make it out.
The time that they spent in the cabin was not applied to any of Dale's lots.
Okay. So that $1,000 should come off that invoice then.
However, after two or three of you asked that we keep score as to when they're there, I said go ahead and charge it all to my lots and forget the wasted time of talking about it.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to do. We'll just take this, we'll scratch off that $1,000 from that invoice. But it's not a year lot sale. That was, you know, the ranch supplied those weeks or 2 weeks or whatever that is.
The ranch does not own any time. The ranch does not own cabin time. So it needs
it has to come off of somebody's.
Well, there's labor and there's material. We have a breakdown on both. What else would there be?
Cabin time.
The cabin time is owned by the membership.
And there isn't free ranch time. It has
not
to come
off
somebody's time.
That's right.
So we're not paying them for cabin time. They should be paying us for cabin time. Unless we donate that to them, and if they're doing work for the ranch, aren't we donating that time in the cabin to them?
Nope. No, you aren't.
This is a real dilemma.
It is.
And it's not going to be answered at this meeting.
Well, and you need to get the bill out for the cabins, for the fences, and see what you've paid for and what you haven't paid for. You have not paid in your budget where you show last year $19,000 or something on fencing. That is not a factual statement at all. If you'll break down as to what you actually paid, this says you paid $19,206 for fencing.
That's what I said was billed for fencing. What we paid for fencing was $10,642.91.
And leave it there. You asked if I was going to send you additional bills on it, and I'm not.
I couldn't hear that part. I'm sorry.
You asked if I was going to send you additional bills on the other expense on fencing, and I said I am not going to send you other invoices on the fencing projects that we've just completed.
Okay, understood. We won't be expecting to pay the $47.72 that was on that invoice or the $37.72 on that invoice because we're taking that off with $1,000. So we won't be expecting to pay any of that.
I'm not sure anybody's following without the budget and the billing stuff in front of them as to what you're taking off and what you're leaving off.
I think I followed it.
I'm asking you. You just said that you will not be submitting any more invoices for the fencing in 2013 to be paid?
That's right.
Okay, so we're done with that conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. Anything else? Anything else, Jody?
No, that's all I have.
Thank you. Robert, you're up.
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Other than Lee Beller come over and talk to me. I was up at my place this week, and there's been tire tracks that he noticed to a lot of the lots up there, and he kind of wondered what was going on where people were on the ranch just traveling around.
Did they destroy the road at all?
He did say, but I think maybe it's something we need to keep an eye on.
What kind of tire track?
Again, that falls back on me. And
is that a truck, a car, ATV, you know?
He didn't say.
Big tire truck.
It's what?
It has been hunting season the last
year. There's all kinds of vehicles. In fact, there was three out there today.
Sorry, elk hunts.
Brent sent me an email about a surveyor. Anybody know anything about a surveyor coming out on property surveying from our properties? He said there was somebody on his lot.
I got his email.
Did you find anything out about it?
I would imagine that it was the surveyors that were surveying those sections in there. Yeah, and I'm paying for it.
What are we surveying for?
It's the backside of one of the lots that are already there. He owns the
There's 500 lot. Acres. I bought 500 acres.
Okay.
And the surveyors were told to set the corners.
I thought maybe something was wrong with Brent's lot or somebody else's.
No. It just, the surveyors went out. They need to break down a section. If there's a little corner, which is, there's 100 acres or something in a particular section, the law requires them to set the corners of that mile away. Evidently, that's where they were. And my guess is that it was TC Engineering here in town, because they were setting corners on the Lippincott property.
So at least we know who it was then.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would. I know it's it'd be hard for you, Dale, but even when a surveyor starts crossing people's property and it's not associated with what they're doing, should just at least leave a note. You know, because
I have no idea where they're going.
Yeah, well, that's their responsibility. You know, to let people know that they're running around there, and I don't blame Brent for wanting to know who it is. Any of us. So anyway,
I make a motion we adjourn.
Okay. Before we adjourn, you done?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The reservation and web development. You're working with Vance Green on that. I'd like to get with you at some point and talk to you a little bit about what we can do to, you know, make things a little easier for the members.
Okay.
One real quick thing. The culverts on the road up to our little pad-like thing, do we request that online through the board or here right now? I'm requesting.
Floor is yours for 20 seconds.
I'm requesting culverts on the road from where we put our sign up. Well, there's about two, three little places.
Or something like that.
What lot number?
220.
220?
And it is Ranch Road.
Along with several miles.
See, this
DSROA hadn't spent
in
10 years.
Well, again, we got a long year ahead of us, and I'll tell you what, probably more work than any other board has ever had, because we've got such issues that have never been dealt with. Equality. How do you charge members $6,000 in lot rents or
assessments,
and then never put a penny into their area? Ever. I mean, we need to look at why people get bitter, why there's fighting going on. And if we use common sense with everything we do, the meeting's adjourned. Good night. Anybody make a motion?
I made the motion.
Okay. Anybody second?
Bob,
second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are we having an executive or no?
We don't really have
I don't think so. I got a plane to catch. Dale's got a plane to catch.
I got to go. I got a funeral.
Everybody's hungry.
Okay.
You want to do it tomorrow?
All right, let me read this.
Oh, no, I just think, I don't know that we have a reason. Oh, we do have a reason.
Yeah.
I can do this via email.
Yeah.
He wants to read it.
Someone gave me this.
Listen up, Jody. Dale's going to read something. We adjourn, but we're still talking.
It's not official.
Not official.
How very true and timely. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help small men by tearing down big men. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. You cannot lift the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot keep out of trouble by spending more than your income. You cannot further the brotherhood of man by inciting class hatred. You cannot establish security on borrowed money. You cannot build character and courage by taking away a man's initiative and independence. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. Abraham Lincoln.